I've had so many long, interesting conversations with people at the Comedy Store since I quit last year.
Really?
That I never talked to before. Wow. It's like people are, I've known Neil Brennan for 5 or 6 years, but I never really had a conversation with him of any extent until after I quit.
Ooh, you were meant to be near me. Ooh, and I want you to hear me. Say we'll be together every day. Hard to get you into my life.
Socks, man. You gotta have the socks.
It's not a sock. It's a
mic sock.
It's not a mic sock, and it's dirty. And it looks like somebody.
This one. Look at this one.
I know that was even worse.
It's so decrepit.
It looks like somebody's dog like just chewed on it or something.
I gotta invest back into this podcast.
Yeah, you really should.
I mean, so, but hey, I always tell people like they're $6, but I'm like, meanwhile, I'm still using the same ones from 4 years ago.
Yeah, but you do have milk chocolate covered macadamia nuts, which is really
Mauna Loa.
Those are like the kind you get in Hawaii.
I got some fans in Sacramento. These really old couple.
That's awesome. They probably have just cases of it. They brought back.
And they brought me some weed. They called it like apple pie or apple something. Apple cider weed. The guy grows it himself.
I ate those because they were still wrapped in plastic. I would not smoke the really? Weed. Even if I was still smoked weed, I don't think I'd smoke the weed.
Oh, yeah. You don't smoke weed at all.
No.
When you quit, did you quit all at once? Like everything at once. You just woke up and said, I'm done.
Something like that, yeah. We talked about it.
And it wasn't like, well, let me just pull off alcohol and I can still stay on weed.
Well, no. I had to go away from alcohol to stay off cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Stay off cocaine and not drink. And
then weed went with it.
Weed went with it. You can't.
I knew a guy. Taylor's brother used to say that I was like, oh, you, because he was smoking pot and he was all in the program and stuff. And I was like, oh, are you back on the wagon, off the wagon or whatever? Or are you drinking again? He goes, no. It's just, you know, AA lets you, most modern AA says weed is okay. Yeah. And I was like, oh, really? Oh. He goes, yeah.
Don't tell anybody in AA that. But yeah.
But then I asked Jarvis that. And he goes, no, that guy was just relapsing.
No, exactly. That guy's just smoking weed.
I was like, what? Got lied to by a relapsing drug addict?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yeah, whoa.
When you think about it. Well, on today's episode, Court, it's all about quitting weed.
Is it?
That's what the intro was talking about. That's what Ingram was talking about when he was talking to Neil Brennan and all these people, like not going to the back to smoke pot and then opening his world up to like, oh, there's new people I actually haven't ever talked to.
Yeah, I love Ingram, man. He's one of those guys that like I really do like and respect, you know. He is. He's one of those guys I like and respect. He's been through some tough times with his, you know, diabetes and shit.
Diabetes.
And, you know, I mean, he's not.
His stomach looks like a fucking, it's just all hard.
Is it?
Because he has to keep poking it. Oh. After a while, it gets like grizzled.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he gets to shoot himself every time he eats.
Oh, that's so bad. But I mean, and he didn't even know he had it forever.
Childhood diabetes. It was crazy. We did that on the podcast too. We did this one on here.
Oh, okay.
Diabetes. Yeah, he's a good guy. And he always sticks to what he fucking believes in.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting with him, always.
He's a solid dude, man.
That's what people say about me sometimes too, but it's another way of saying, what an asshole.
No, I don't know.
But yeah, with Ingram, is like, solid dude. Anyway.
Yeah.
The point is, he quit smoking pot.
And
so we just talked about that.
That's cool. It's about, you know, yeah, because I never smoked weed, so I never stood in the back with like. I mean, I would go back there once in a while to hang.
Yeah, you and Simone every once in a while
rarely, come back. Very rarely would I go back there. I didn't like the vibe back there.
You did not.
No.
Yeah,
I didn't like the vibe back there, and it wasn't.
Why not?
It wasn't because of the people. It's just kind of like I never minded going back in the main room, in the green room, back in the behind the main room. I never minded that because that was like, you know, you could sit down, you could hang out.
What
you know,
you like the alley.
Yeah, I'm talking about. Never went back in the alley.
The alley sucks.
The alley's like that's what I mean. The vibe,
dark.
Back,
you can't get away from people.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was a bad vibe. But I never cared about going back in the green room where everyone smoked weed. That never bothered me. I always like hanging out back there.
The best peer pressure I ever saw was back there. I forgot about this.
Oh, really?
Tebow was just was sober. He'd just gotten sober. This was 4 or 5 years ago. And he was like, no, but he's going back there to smoke with us. We're all smoking. He was just going to be, you know, a lot of AA people do that, or just sober people do that. I was like, I'm not going to change my life. I'll still hang out with my friends if they're drinking wine, smoking pot. I just won't. Whatever. Like you did when we were all that hotel room in Vegas.
Yeah.
With like Benson and Rogan and Ralphie and Diaz.
Yeah, I have no problem with
that. Craziest pot collection in history. And you're just there like, what? Anyway, he was back there and Jeff Scott was passing the pipe. And he's like, no, I'm okay. And Jeff's like, come on. Smoke it. Such strong peer pressure. He goes, no, dude, I don't want it. He goes, oh, why? Because I have HIV. So you don't want to touch what's been on my lips because I have HIV. Just smoke it. And T was like, oh, no. And then I finally realized it was so bad. I was like, here, I'll take it. And I just smoked it. But it was like, it's not about that, dude. He's trying not to smoke.
He's trying not to smoke
pot. And call attention to himself.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
It was such strong peer pressure. Oh, because you hate me because I have HIV. Like, oh, now I almost have to smoke.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, I'm not.
No, let's share a needle. No. No, it's not that,
you
man.
You can't get it that way.
Yeah, come on.
If you could get it that way, I would have AIDS so many times over from Jeff Scott's mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not like 28 days later.
No.
Like 28 weeks later. Remember that when he kissed her? Remember 28 weeks later?
No, I don't remember.
The sequel to 28 Days Later?
I remember seeing that, but I don't.
With one of the guys from Trainspotting.
Oh.
Begbie, I think.
That was such a good movie, Trainspotting.
Lust for a Life.
I love that movie.
Got a Lust for a Life. I wrote a paper on it in college.
Did you?
No. I did a whole senior thesis project, an HTML project, where we discussed, me and my friend Jason, my partner, we discussed the music and how it played, how it gave it extra
layers. Oh, in Trainspotting?
Yeah. Like every song had something to do with what was actually going on. There was that song by Underworld, Two for One.
Yeah.
And that's right when Begbie moves back in with him when he's in London trying to get his life together. Yeah. And then Begbie's like, I'm staying with you for a while. And then that song is playing, Two for One.
Oh, wow. I didn't
Perfect
think...
Day, when he's sinking into a hole and overdosing. Yeah. It's like all the songs in that have something to do with the plot that's going on right there.
That's bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I did my senior thesis on Jim Morrison. On the book No One Here Gets Out Alive.
Really?
Like, oh yeah, I was my high school thesis. So yeah. This was like, and it wasn't that long after he died. Wow. So it was like the book had just come out. It was such a huge thing. And I was like so into Jim Morrison. And I thought the Doors were just everything. And I was like, and then he was right. This book was so cool. And actually finally years later in California, I actually met the guy that wrote that book, and I was very unimpressed by him.
Really? Oh.
You know, like, you're like, it was just such a, you know, at the time, you're like so gee whizzed by it.
I remember reaching Bukowski, and he was talking about himself, like meeting some father and son. He's like, my son's a big fan of yours. And it's like, oh, and it wasn't comfortable. And he goes, I know. And then what happened later, he gets drunk and makes a fool of himself, and the son looks at him disgusted.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is why I don't want to meet people who are fans of mine, because I'm going to disappoint them. I'm a drunk.
Well, it's weird. It's like there's so many great books that were written that like autobiographies that you kind of feel like they were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like have you ever read Wired, the John Belushi story?
I sure haven't.
You got to read. That's another one that feel like the guy was there all the time.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then it's like, eh, that guy was like, you know, he was never there.
He was never there.
He was never really
there. What do you
mean? Yeah, he wasn't there. He wasn't there for the thing. He wasn't there. What, are you checking something on your computer?
To see how
you are so just get an iPhone, Ari.
I'm not checking that. I'm checking what I call this episode.
Oh, I don't know what you call this episode, but all I know is that you are someone who needs to get another iPhone, because this is getting to the point where it's almost ridiculous.
I'm not gonna get it. I just got the Alias too. I've stepped up.
I know you did that, but you still, it's like, you're like a kid who's been grounded for like 2 weeks, and then his dad gives him back the iPad, and he just goes into his iPad and just checks everything and opens every app and plays with everything. Like, that's what happens.
Dude,
when someone hands you.
I can't check Instagram on my computer. I can post a couple things here or there, but it's tough to check everything. But, so when I get on it, let me see what I've been tagged in.
Yeah.
Let me see pictures. Let me see stuff.
Yeah, well, you should just do it on your phone, so it's like less like engrossing at one time. It's almost like you're in an old...
No,
like
Court, because it's not less engrossing at one time. Look, we're not talking about this. It's a different episode. I've talked about it many times.
Okay.
This is about Ingram giving up weed. So that's the episode. You have any dates coming up, Court? Well, it's all the time we have for you today.
Sometime in May. I'm in May 7th, 8th. I'm with Sebastian at the Houston Improv.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, then, I might go see him on Monday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go tomorrow night.
Gotham.
I think I'm going to go tomorrow night to Gotham. Check it out.
Sold out. For the guys asking, it's sold out. But like, yeah, I haven't seen him do an hour. So it's like, it might be fun to go sit, oh, it's sit in the back.
It's
and just watch
fucking
him
unreal. He's so good. And then, yeah, and then I'll be out on tour with Follow Me. I'll be, see me on with Parnovic.
Senior tour?
Parnovic on my back. Champions tour.
Champions tour, not seniors.
The champions. These are all champions.
Is it? Do they have to have won a tournament?
They have to have. They have to have been so. Like, there's like some guys that are forever on the tour because they're in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys like Langer that are in the. I mean, there are guys that are in the Hall of Fame at like 48.
They're not longer just missed the cut for the Masters.
I think he.
No, he was the first to miss.
Oh, he's missed the cut. Okay,
but like just missed it.
Yeah. Vijay Singh made the cut. He finished
good for him.
Second to last. not still, so good.
What is but he's way in his 50s.
He's 52, 51 or 52. But I mean, but it's great. But yeah, you'll look across my back. Will say Parnovic, nice. And that's what you'll see. You will not see my face.
None of my list. So few of them watch golf. And
none of them
so
watch golf.
Very few of them watch Champions.
None of them will
golf.
Watch it. But you know, but if you're ever flipping through ESPN or the Golf Channel one day and you see. The Swedish guy with the bill of his hat turned up.
Yeah.
That's Parnovic, and I will be being yelled at next to him. I'm the guy being yelled at standing next to him.
I love that. So anyway, this episode is called, do I have any dates? No, I'm just at the stand. Most of you guys, I'll be in Bangkok on May 5th.
But I do have just finished my album, my CD, and that will be coming out at the end of May, and I will have you tweet that out when I do it, which you
okay,
won't do.
It's way too early for that.
I know, but whatever.
No one will remember that now.
No. No, because none of these people quit.
And I'll be at
the
DC Improv in July, and let's start the episode. Episode 214, No Jay, No Way, with Rick Ingram. And then I'll tell you guys at the end why I chose all this music I chose. And Rick has a podcast, too.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. It's called Embrace the Hate. He's such a hateful guy, so it's perfect.
Embrace the
he
Hate.
He does it with Nost.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Embrace the Hate. It's on iTunes.
There you go.
Yeah. He's so good at it. I think, if I remember right, it was just like Nost bringing up subjects and then Ingram saying why he hates those things.
then you got to listen to the podcast because it'll be good.
Yeah. All right, Embrace so here we go. Hate. Episode 214.
Here we go again.
Here we go. Get on my own. Going down there. Oh, we're stopping. The world is best. For those who only got $2 in a bag of cess. All we wanna do is drink, smoke, and fuck. All we wanna do is drink, smoke, and fuck. All we wanna do is drink, smoke, and fuck. All we wanna do is drink, smoke, and fuck. Chronic, bubonic, chocolate-tastic, you want it, Jamaican dream, silver haze. No, I was trying to do the John Tesh theme. What? How does it go?
I wish I knew more Tesh.
I think it's college basketball, I believe. You don't know it?
I don't know that one. As far as college basketball, I know the one shining moment, but that's...
One shining moment. I watched that when Maryland won from the patio of the Comedy Store.
Was it an epic day for you?
It was pretty nice.
Did you go to Maryland?
Yeah, but I was always torn because I grew up as a Tar Heels fan. And then my family moved to, well, if he's bothering you, just shove him off. But then my family moved to Maryland and then I went to Maryland. But I was still a Tar Heel fan all through high school. And I went to like the Maryland games when I was in high school and I rooted for Carolina.
Did you live in Carolina?
Yeah, up until fourth grade.
Oh, I see. I didn't know you were a Confederate.
A competitor?
Confederate.
Oh, yeah. Maryland's Confederate, too.
Yeah. Well, I guess I kind of knew you were mid-Atlantic, but... It's a wire.
Man, he's really smelling something in there. What do you got in there?
Nothing. He must just smell my dog.
His dog loves cum. Oh, yeah. He can smell his dog on you. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? What is this? What is this?
I'm a goddamn animal dog.
He's got no class. This dog has no tricks. Benji's the worst. The only trick he knows is go to bed when he gets yelled at.
Is his name really Cheryl?
Cheryl, yeah. It's just her, I guess.
What an
but
idiot.
Cheryl, hey, stop smelling that boy. Come on. Beat it, loser. She barks like crazy at other dogs. Does your dog do that?
No.
Are you even on a leash when you're taking her for a walk?
No, my dog's not a barker or a biter. It's, I don't think it knows any better. The only it'll bark is if it hears people speaking Spanish outside.
Oh, really?
And then...
She barks like, it's too early. Too early in the day.
It's just like, hey, not in this country. Racist, that dog of mine.
Super racist. Yeah, when if it's on a leash. On a dog park, she's fine. When she's off a leash and they're off a leash. But I took her out of the dog park once next to the standard. You know that one?
Yeah.
And I let her walk. She was fine, running around with everything. Let her walk off her leash, walked down the steps to the back entrance there. She sees another dog on a leash and just runs at her and starts like trying to bite her. The lady picks her up and she starts staring at me like, I didn't send her on a fucking mission, lady. Just my friend's untrained dog.
What a loser.
Bad.
What a loser.
Yoink. Oh, they're down 4 now, Kentucky.
They're getting there. They'll be up 12.
Yeah. What was I say? They've done 8 or 9? What was it?
Yeah, they're down
8.
They were
down 9. Okay.
And they're, I'm telling
you. You said they'll win by at least 12. You're like, oh, there's 9 minutes left. Now they're down 2. Yeah. God. There's good teams, when they're really good, they're just like, let's just turn it on.
Yeah.
The coach stops them, I think, and just goes, guys, what the fuck are you doing?
Calipari literally said, I will cut off your hookers for 3 weeks.
No, coach, no. We're trying, coach.
Well, you better try harder.
All right, guys. Come on.
Just take away our hooker privileges. That's how Coach K motivates. Or Coach C?
Coach C. Coach, yeah. Calipari. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't dye his hair as much as Krzyzewski does.
Both of them are incredible looking men.
How do you like living out there in fucking Van Nuys or Sherman Oaks or wherever you live?
It's all right. I mean, I never planned on living in the Valley, I suppose. Yeah. But
you were never against it. I mean, you probably moved here like me. Like, I don't know shit about the Valley. Except Danielson.
I didn't know what it was at all. And I didn't watch a lot of Karate Kid, so I didn't even think that.
You don't have to watch a lot of Karate Kid.
Yeah.
It's really just one Karate Kid you had to watch.
I moved to Manhattan Beach when I first came out here. So
yeah.
It was, I mean, I love that, but it's just, you might as well live in San Diego.
That's right. I dropped you off there on the way back from leaving Painter in La Jolla.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I liked it down there. It was great. I knew all these. I mean, I was like in my early 20s, so I knew all these degenerate junior college dropout kids that I worked with in restaurants. And
yeah.
I just continued my collegiate experience in Hermosa by getting drunk with morons.
God, that strip on the beach, Hermosa, Huntington.
Yeah.
Where'd you live, Manhattan Beach?
I lived in Manhattan.
I think Manhattan Beach too, but even Venice and Santa Monica, the strip, like Main Street, it's like, you know, a block or two off.
Right.
With some inlet roads into the beach.
Yeah.
That's just for like extended college life. Let's just keep getting drunk, but like 30 year olds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Manhattan Beach is kind of classier, they think. So there's a lot of
classier,
rich people and douches, just douches of wealth. But
when we were looking, me and my roommate were looking for a place when we moved here. We're like, let's look at Manhattan Beach. That could be cool. We'll take a look at that. And then we're like looking at these studios for like $2,500. And we're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to – I stayed on a buddy's couch. He lived down there. And then I was looking at getting my own place, but it was like a studio apartment in Hawthorne. And it was going to be
– Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like $700. I'm just like, this seems like a terrible place.
Hawthorne.
So then I ended up living – or Torrance. I ended up getting a roommate with a guy I knew from college. And
in Torrance?
No, and we lived in Manhattan Beach.
Oh.
But I didn't want to live in Torrance. That was help motivating. Right. Like, oh, I guess I could be roommates with this guy I kind of know.
Nothing motivates like negative reinforcement. Like, yeah. Well, if you don't, you're going to live in.
Yeah, it was all right. I lived right next to Trader Joe's, which I never went to the whole time I lived there. But it was nice enough, I guess.
Yeah. How long did you live there for a while, though, right?
Yeah, I lived there almost 4 years. I just kept having my friends move out from Kansas City.
And dude, how close were the Royals this year?
God, we made it game 7.
I mean, I can't believe it.
We had a guy on third base with 2 outs in the 9th.
With down one?
Down one.
Oh.
And
last licks? Or no, it was away.
No, it was in Kansas City.
Oh, so they could have tied that and just won an extra innings.
Yeah, but they had friggin' Baumgartner's Sandy Koufax-like ass. Dude was unhittable the whole playoffs. We couldn't do anything about it.
And Kansas City's manager is fucking terrible, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he like notoriously make bad calls?
I mean, everyone all season was like, yep, this week they're firing Yost.
And they kept winning.
And they kept winning. And then he made some terrible decisions in the wild card game. And everyone's just like, this dude is done.
And then he kept winning,
and then they came back. They took out John Lester, and then the Royals came back and won, and it was like, oh God, now we're stuck with him.
And now he's going to make decisions.
But he's like he's like your standard complete moron, lucky as hell baseball manager.
Yeah.
He was on Dale Earnhardt's pit crew before he became a major league manager.
Is that really?
Yeah, he was like the water guy, and Dale would pull in and he'd be like, Dale, I got water for you. And Dale'd be like, Dale don't drink water. Dale's here to kill.
Really?
Yeah, he was the water guy.
Pit crew for NASCAR?
Yep. He became hunting buddies with Dale Earnhardt, and Dale was like, you can be on my pit crew. You hold the water bottles. That was the job he gave him.
And then Dale didn't even drink water. So he's like, Dale
was obviously drinking beers or something while he was
while he's driving.
Yeah. He didn't mess around with water.
My poppy died, and he was stone sober. What does that show you?
Yeah. He said, I can win a race drunk as hell. And I can die a race drunk as hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did. He was doing that, and then he left that, obviously, when Dale died. And then he became...
Oh, Dale Sr. he had.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then he became the Brewers manager.
Oh, yeah. He got fired mid-season when they were in first place.
Yeah, he got fired with like a month to go.
When they were in first place.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to the playoffs. Like, we got to get rid of this guy before he ruins it then.
Before he completely ruins it.
And then the Royals were like, we'll take him.
Kentucky just tied it up.
How shocking.
340 left.
I can't believe. Are we recording this, by the way?
We are recording. Yeah, he's one of those guys. I always picture like baseball managers, like really higher up guys like that, like at the top level. I mean, that's the top level of your game, your major league, you know,
manager,
position.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think, well, they know what they're doing. And then you realize, no, you're just some guy. And that guy just second guessed himself over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you falling under the pressure?
He's one of those guys, I go with what my gut tells me. And you're like, your gut is horrible at managing. Yeah,
why? Why are you going with what your gut tells you? Why? That doesn't make any sense.
How did this work out?
So, what?
He's terrible.
He's terrible.
And I think we signed him for at least two more years or something.
I mean, you go that far, especially in the Royals, it's a huge win.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Lost your best pitcher, picked up a couple of spare part pitchers. We'll see.
They're not going to compete this year. The Yankees are going to be terrible, so what do I care?
Yeah, I thought we would be terrible last year, and off and on we were. We
Royals just have this great capacity to be in first place at the All-Star break and then finish in last place.
Yeah, we were pretty good at that.
Yeah, really giving everyone hope every year and then taking away that hope.
I was spoiled. I grew up in the 80s, and the Royals were great in the 80s and early 90s, and then Bo Jackson got injured, and the Royals were cursed.
Dude, I heard Kansas City, Stanford, and Sons moved again.
Yep, it's now back in the suburbs.
It was in the suburbs by that old minor league baseball fucking stadium.
Next to the T-Bones Park.
T-Bones, yeah.
But that was almost rural. That's next to the NASCAR.
Yeah. They went to suburbs now?
No, it's back in the suburbs where the second location, it was, like the place I started was
Westport. They said they're going to open up downtown.
Yeah, I don't think that ever happened. I'm pretty sure that never happened.
I was like, let me know, because that's the club I'll play.
Yeah.
In a cool part of town.
Well, the original one was in Westport, which is like, that's the cool bar section. That's probably where, I don't know if they have hipsters, but that's where they would live.
Where?
In Westport.
Westport.
It's pretty close to downtown. It's
Yeah.
Kind of by the plaza.
That's where they said they're going back there.
Yeah, and that place was awesome. That's where I started comedy. But then they opened one out in the suburbs.
Well, the Coke is better up by the other place.
you want me to just pay you and blow?
Nah, it's cool, man.
It's $10. You just give me the $10.
I don't know how much blow is $10.
You can sell it for more. I'm not going to sell $10 worth of Coke.
Go to the street.
Make $13 on it.
Yeah. Upsell it for that little.
Yeah, he's a madman, that guy.
It's like all these club owners, they have this power because people in that city have kissed up to them.
Yeah.
And same shit as Mitzi with L.A.
Yeah.
It's just a larger scale. And they just feel like they're
the king. He's the king.
And their intelligence level on comedy is higher because people need them.
Yeah.
But they're not any smarter. They're just some guy.
He is probably as bad an owner as possible.
Wow.
But he's now trying to sell a script about his life.
And yeah, he always was.
He's got David Pierce, Comedy Store lawyer, representing him.
Oh, that piece of shit. That's the worst, dude.
The ultimate dream team.
No one stood in the way of my special more than David Pierce.
I can imagine. That's
just
true.
Just constantly trying to get more money out of this production that didn't have any, not letting us do shit we wanted to do. Yeah. Oh, what do you want me to do? I sent him an email, just won't return my emails, and then acted like he was a... He wanted to be... You know that opening with all the people in it?
Yeah.
My special? He was like, well, maybe I could be a character too. And I want to be like, dude, why would you be? You're
not
friends with any of us, and you're fucking
you include
in
him.
Way.
You include him with several foreign hookers.
Oh, yeah. He loves hookers.
Up.
That's a hooker guy, that dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of them are girlfriends, but yeah. They're just the kind of girlfriends you pay to have sex with.
It's weird when a guy like dates hookers. Their view just gets skewed completely. When they see random girls out and they just go, so what are you doing? Come with me. And you're like, you can't
That's
treat a regular girl
works,
that way.
Yeah.
There's no commodity there.
You're a chubby, creepy dude.
But what if I leer more?
Does
that help?
Yeah,
Nobody leers at girls I'm with more than David Pierce.
He used to try and, I think he was trying to be buddy-buddy with me.
Yeah.
But at one point he met my mom and then be like, man, your mom is hot, man. I would love that. I was like, dude, if you... talk about my mom to me again, I will kick the shit out of you. Whoa, I thought we're just joking.
No,
you are not.
You're
welcome
just joking.
To joke.
I'm not with you. I'm not joking.
We're
I
not
didn't
friends.
Offer any jokes.
What? Come on.
You
nothing.
Have no idea how to make a joke.
Yeah, yeah. He's a class act. You know when the lawyer that represents a comedy club is most likely to be a raper at said comedy
a
club.
Raper, yeah.
It's a great sign for the comedy club and their legal stance.
Yeah. Hey, let's see if he knows the trick. Go to bed. Cheryl, go to bed. Nope, she doesn't know that one either.
Nope.
She's completely untrained. At least she pisses outside.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good
start.
Yeah,
when your lawyer's a raper.
So creepy. I remember watching him one time walk to the back. A bunch of people were hanging out backstage. And he was walking back there with some Asian girlfriend. Wink.
Yeah.
And he went, I'm sure his intention was to try and be cool, but he made it like 5 seconds, then was like,
uncool.
Will someone bring her back? I'm like, listen, you can't just drop off your hooker in hopes that someone will get her high and then leave.
Oh, they just left her?
Yeah.
So, hey, you guys, here, let me fuck up your conversation circle.
Yeah, I think his intent might have been to try and participate, but it just, his nerves, chubby nerves got to him. You could start seeing the sweat beat up on his forehead after like 30 seconds of standing around.
Remember when Jill the virus?
The worst.
The worst. Remember when she came back to those circles and embarrassed to try to include her and be like, are you a princess? You must be a princess. And then she complained to her manager boyfriend.
Yeah.
To the manager of the conference, her boyfriend. And then he then did not do the right thing. That's the end of Dean being an okay guy to be around.
Yeah.
When he then said to Don, hey, man, if you could be cool with my girlfriend, it'd be really helpful to me. Instead of going like, hey, girlfriend,
that
guy was trying to be nice. You shouldn't. You're not even a comic.
In Dean's defense, I made her cry probably 5 to 6 times, maybe even more. Just by telling her, like, you are a wretched cunt and
she
nobody
really
likes you.
Is the worst. She started coming around again. And now she realizes she was wrong. So she tells people, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for before. And you want to be like, well, why are you here? You made nothing but enemies while you were here. You want to suddenly make friends? Like, just go away. If you're sorry, just go away.
Well, part of her lie is that she is a quasi-successful comedian.
Oh, she tells people that?
That she tells people. And, she did a lot of comedy in other places in the country that we've never heard of. But extensive stage
she's
time.
She's the worst. What a fucking awful person.
Yeah, she's terrible. Last time I spoke with her, it wasn't even in person. I saw her at the Comedy Store, and she was hammered.
Hammered, always.
And then the next night, I saw Lainey, and Lainey was all excited, because even though her son no longer is dating this fucking cunt bag.
Yeah.
Did you see Jill? Jill's back. I go, yeah, I saw her last night. She was hammered. And so
it's awful, so why do you care, Lainey? Yeah.
Then Lainey apparently sent her a text. I was like, I talked to Ingram, and he said you were hammered.
Lainey, just selling out.
So then,
selling you out.
So then I got a message on Facebook, like whatever those messages, just a straight message.
Uh-huh.
That was like 3 paragraphs long. How dare you judge me on my night away from my children? I'm allowed to blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't see it. So there was no response. And then an hour later, she sent another extensive paragraph. And I mean, it went on. There was like, there was four really long angry things.
All the angry people write these paragraph after paragraph. And it's like, dude, write two sentences.
Yeah.
Two sentences. That's it. Just go,
hey, fuck man, you.
I heard you talking shit about me. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
This is really rude. That's it.
It included that she is way funnier than me.
Uh-huh.
And she could beat me in a comedy contest.
Oh, yeah. Comedy contest.
I mean, just stuff where I'm just like, what? And I think I responded like, you're a crazy twat. And then said, fuck you. I'm blocking your ass. Like,
great.
I've
why'd
never
you reach out in the first place?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
The blocking people is like the drama queens, like the new, like, I'm going to slash your tires.
Yeah.
It's their way of lashing
God
out.
Forbid.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't known what to do with myself since she blocked me on Facebook.
No.
Yeah, she's a special breed. She said some rather vulgar things about me and my wife and all this just evil shit she hopes happens.
And the next time she sees you, it'll be like, oh, hey, Rick.
I think I was up there one night when she was there, and she was smart to avoid me. I told management I'll put her head through glass. I don't know
why they don't just get rid of her. All those Dean 15, especially like Mini Dean. When they're like, no, Dean said he has to be protected when he left. It's like, well, he's not around anymore.
Yeah, and also
so
fuck
tell
him
to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Fuck Dean. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, all of them.
Fuck Jill. All those people. Yeah. Jill would go fuck people in the back while her boyfriend was managing in the front.
Yeah, I remember standing in the back door with like Youssef was the only other person I remember being there, but it was right after she had fucked Cater.
Yeah.
And Dean came up and she was being annoying that night. I was like, Dean, do you find it offensive as a Jew that she fucked a Palestinian?
Yeah.
And I just remember Nick giving me the look like, oh, I'm not getting involved in this.
Because he's Palestinian.
And Dean was like, I guess it offends me the same as anyone else. I'm like, dude, that's such a vagina answer.
Like, he's not upset about the race.
Yeah, it's just like, well, yeah, whatever.
A little perturbed about it.
She's fucked 40 guys. What am I supposed to do?
Break up with her, Dean. I remember them getting into a fight, like a yelling argument, and then her driving his BMW home.
Yeah.
And he had to take the Comedy Store van. I'm like, dude, forget about man up. Just human up.
Yeah. I also recall her demanding $20. I really don't care. She's fine.
Okay.
Needing $20 and Dean giving it to her and her immediately just going in on a bag of cocaine. Oh. From Fat Eddie.
The worst.
And then be like, you know, you just gave her money to buy Coke. Well, you don't know what it's for. No, actually,
no,
we do.
No, I saw her go buy the Coke.
We're all pretty positive.
I mean, she could have had a different 20. You might be right. She could have had a different 20. She's using this for something else.
Yeah, maybe she's using that 20 to buy giving a dude a blowjob.
Yeah, she's
that's possible.
She used to blow Fast Eddie in the back for Coke.
And then get 20, wow. You know, maybe get $30 worth for $20.
What a wretched person.
Yeah, she's a pile of bacteria.
What
garbage.
Is it about the store that just draws those people in?
In my opinion, it's that there are people who are just broken,
uh-huh.
And they will never be able to enjoy happiness.
Yeah.
And they substitute momentary laughter for happiness. In their brain, psychologically, they're like, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
I'm happy. And then they leave and they go back to the squalor that is their existence. But
Brendan Walsh told me this once. He was talking about boozing and he was like, and he was kind of like off it in his head a little bit, you know, like over it. And he was like, you know, it's like you have a good time, you're drunk, but no one, you're not really having a good time.
No.
You're just covering up.
I mean, you can, but a lot of times it's just getting through
life. You're like laughing, but not really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, part of why I moved to the Comedy Store was moved. Like two blocks from the Comedy Store is because I wanted to drink every night.
Where'd you move two blocks from the you live right down Kings, right?
I lived on Flores, which is a block
you walk
east
there.
Of Kings.
You walk there.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to get drunk every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I started drinking there a lot when I lived in Manhattan Beach, and then I'd have to sleep in my car in the parking lot until like 5 in the morning. And and I'd look over and see like Mickey standing there looking at me. And like,
Mickey, do you want to eat me for meat?
Yeah. Denver, Colorado.
Colorado. Colorado.
Denver Mining Company. For whatever reason, that's what he always would say to me. I had a t-shirt that said Denver Ski Team. It's like for Denver University. And for some reason, that triggered in his mind the Denver Mining Company. No idea what that is.
And then he kept saying it.
And then every time he's seen him for like 2 years, yeah, how was Denver?
I like when Mickey would get so drunk that he would leer at the Ding Dong Show, like go over the top in the belly room and look down at Mary Jane's like cleavage, and but like stand there thinking he was invisible, even though it was a wall of mirrors that she was facing.
Yeah.
So and he was just like lean forward looking over her.
God, the Prince of Bollywood.
Oh, yeah, it's right.
Mickey. Yeah, one of my favorite crazy people moments was watching when someone found that interview, the video, and they sent it out over like, this is Mickey from the Comedy Store. And I clicked on it, and he's being interviewed by people in India.
Wow. And
Tim at a movie premiere where he played the American bad guy. And they're like, yeah, so what do you think as an American? There's a lot more actors coming. It's not just going to be me and Richard Gere soon. I'm being like, I'm sorry.
You guys are the tops right now?
You and Richard Gere.
You guys are running shit?
1-2 Americans performing in India. Good news for Richard Gere. Not going to be a lot of competition.
Just him and Mickey. No, it's going to be a lot of competition. It's growing, he said.
Yeah.
Colorado.
How was Denver?
Hey, I liked when everyone's in the pot room that's now locked all the time, which was the back of the main room. And then there was that changing room beyond that with the bathroom and the shower.
Right.
And everyone would be smoking pot, which used to be the fuck room.
Right.
And then the cokeheads would come in and they'd have to go to the back of the changing room. But they have to walk through the pot room to get to the coke room. And it was just head down, shameful walk.
What are you guys doing back there? Are you guys all shitting together?
No, we're just... Like Minnie Dean make some joke.
Yeah.
As shitty as Minnie Dean was and is, at least when you said, like, dude, you're a filthy cokehead, right? He goes, oh, yeah, I love coke. He's the only guy who doesn't deny partying.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only person, I believe, in the last 30 years who walked into a room and goes, hey, I found some Quaaludes if anyone wants some. The Quaaludes? They haven't even made those for at least 25 years.
Quaaludes.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And he was trying to trade Quaaludes, I think, for pot. The night that it was going on, everyone's just like, you can't trust a pill that's not made anymore or that old.
Nah, it's still good.
Oh, I think I found him. I hadn't seen him for years. Like, okay, Minnie Dean. And he was dating like a actual slightly retarded girl for a while.
Asian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of half remember that.
And it was just like
awful what? MG.
That's how she left
up front.
Yeah.
She was garbage.
We were talking about how shitty he was. Me and Neil Brennan and Kevin Christie. We were talking about the Dean 15, and Neil's like, what is that? So Kevin and I started explaining it to him, and they were like, and then there's that mini Dean guy, and he's like, oh, I think I remember him. And Kevin is like, and his claim to fame is that he's the world's fastest painter, which in the world of paint, that is not a good thing.
Yeah, speed is not what's looked upon.
It's like,
dude, he did a bunch of college gigs, didn't he? Wasn't that the rumor?
That's what he claimed.
True. Who knows if it's true?
That was his claim.
He made a shitload off college.
The world's fastest painter, same
with
importance as the world's most artistic runner. It's just, is that a claim to fame? Who knows?
I like that they have a world's fastest juggler now.
Is that right?
Commercial.
Oh, I've seen that.
The guy who's juggling as he's running.
Yeah.
But then it cross-cut to him when he's playing with a cell phone and juggling, but he's clearly on a fucking dolly.
Right.
Because there's no like bouncing up and down in his step. It's just like perfectly even.
Yeah. If you decide to do something that no one else in the world is competing at, it's pretty easy to be the top.
It was 56 to 45 or 56 to... No, it was 56 to 48 or 56 to 47. I forget. And right when that was 9 minutes left, and Ingram said they would win by 12. Kentucky is now up 6, taking 2 foul shots. Yeah. They're going to win by at least 8 or 9.
I was
probably
wrong, so yeah.
It's just because you were close, though. They were just up 8. So here's what I wanted to ask you about. You've done something that I have considered doing for years.
Sure.
You've given up marijuana.
Yep.
Let's backstory it, though.
Okay.
I want to ask how big a pot smoker you were before.
Like in my heyday or right
this
when I quit?
Right when you quit or even like a year or two before? And what your heyday was? When was your heyday? In comedy was your heyday, right? Or college?
With smoking, I would say it was probably my first couple years in LA.
Okay.
One of the first people I met out here was a dude who always had killer weed.
Who?
It was a guy I worked with in Manhattan Beach.
Okay, that's cool. And at Chili's? No, Chili's was...
It was at Islands.
Islands, yeah.
And then, I'd get the White Widow all the time.
White Widow's so good.
And back then, there wasn't pot shops all over the place. So, when I started bringing it to the comedy store...
some people, Buddy Bolton, knew that you could get a license, but it doesn't mean you go buy it anywhere.
Right.
It just means it wasn't illegal when you had it.
You wouldn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
I would always bring weed with me to the comedy store, and I made so many friends, so many connections. I used to get way more gigs than when I was horrible and still doing shitty Will Ferrell impressions.
Because you had weed?
Because I always had killer weed. Uh-huh. And the industry was just that way. It was people like, dude, you got to come do the show with me. Pays you $200. You know, you can do 20 minutes. And I probably had 8 minutes of really shitty comedy. Then I was just like, sweet.
Yeah, I'll fill the time.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. And so that's how I made relationships my first couple of years.
It's amazing how that works. You know, you keep hearing that it's supposed to be out. If you're talented, you'll get ahead. And the more and more you see it, you realize, no, people just like you.
Yeah.
They just got to like you.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Diaz told me that. He goes, but you know, you're supposed to give Christmas presents to your agents and managers and stuff. And this is back in the day when this could actually be something like then, when there weren't pot shops. He goes, you could buy a bottle of Jack Daniels, but fuck that. They're either going to drink it or they're not. They can afford that. You drop 3 nugs in their desk, say this is the finest weed in SoCal. They're like, dude, yeah, I could use this. I couldn't have found it myself.
Right.
And I could totally use this.
Yeah, I should have been networking back then.
Back then, like that. I used to give mushrooms to my agents and managers.
That's pretty
sweet.
Even
the straight edge ones. I'm like, look, you don't have to take it if you want, but there's 2 doses there, so do whatever you like with it.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Friend. And it's one of those things, if you have the connection, then you got... You know, something other people don't have. It's supply and demand, I guess.
Supply and demand.
So then it became, I would smoke a lot at pretty much any time I'd go to the comedy store. And then I slowed down for a couple of years and didn't smoke as much. But I remember you asking me to get you a bag. I got it for you.
I broke up with Natasha. I was feeling really down.
Yeah, that's probably... Probably about that same time.
I was feeling
time.
Super shitty, and I was like, I just want to smoke some pot.
And you didn't smoke that often, because I remember being like, what?
Yeah,
really?
I just needed something to help me forget a little. Yeah,
yeah. So I got you a bag. I think I only got you an eighth. I'm pretty sure it was the eighth or a quarter.
It wasn't a quarter. I was thinking an eighth or a gram, but
yeah,
probably.
It was definitely at least an eighth.
Okay, an eighth then.
And then I remember about 8 months went by, and then you and I did a show in La Jolla, and you're like, hey, I got some of that weed. I'm like, what? I remember being like, are you serious?
What do you mean you have some weed? That was 8 months ago.
You were smoking 3 hits a week, maybe.
Not even that. It wasn't even paste. It was I smoked some, and then I would smoke another 2 months later.
Right. I just remember being dumbfounded. If I had a bag, there's no way that it was being... conserved.
Yeah. I had some weed in my fridge once that it was there for a few years.
That's a Tommy move. I still got half a nugget from the best bag I ever bought in Florida.
Dude, I'm a hoarder. So I brought shit from the Monsters tour that me and Tripoli and Jason Rouse went on all the way down the coast.
Right.
I had that years later. I still had that. I moved from that to New York. It was just like... I get less and less of it, and I'm like, oh, this is a really good batch. I don't want to use it all. I want to save some.
Right.
Some good Granddaddy Purple I've had for Anyway, so this is in the back in just a bag. And at some point, I was like, I ain't smoking this. I had enough money. I can buy eighths myself now.
Right.
And then I was like, who wants it? And then somebody's like, don't throw it out. I'm sure a door guy will want it. And fucking Tony Hinchcliffe's like, I'll take it.
Of course.
He said it fucking wrecked him.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it'll lose THC from the outside.
From the outside.
Like the keef, but there's so much packed in the
inside.
Will
it lose it? How will it lose it?
Just because the keef will fall off as it dries out.
But into the bag that it's in and be right back on the thing.
Yeah, I guess. Or if in a container, it'd fall to the bottom of the container.
Yeah, sometimes I like to use the containers. Or some people, I saw what they would do is they rub their rolling papers in the containers. They would just spread it around in there.
Dust on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
It would fall off.
Yeah, so then I for a couple of years, I slowed down, or I'd still smoke, but not as often. I was more drinking. I was drinking a lot then, so
yeah.
And I wasn't great at mixing the two.
No one is.
Essentially, if I guess that's probably true.
Yeah. You didn't have a problem. It's a problem.
There was a lot of... I drank enough that if I smoked, I would get dizzy. You know, a lot of the... I'm going to have to lay
the spins?
On
the spins?
Yeah.
That shit? Oh, floor. I love that. I love... Not when it happens to me, but when it happens to other people, like, you go outside, like, I just need some fresh air, and then you decide to smoke a cigarette or a joint, and then all of a sudden you're like, that was a terrible idea.
That was
idea.
A really bad idea.
How is that fresh air?
Yeah.
Straight smoke, carcinogen, right into my
smart
lungs.
Yeah.
That's when I puked behind. Remember Skippy used to have a karaoke parties for his birthday? He had a karaoke
makes
party
sense.
At
I believe
Brass
it.
Monkey in Koreatown. And I went outside to get some fresh air. I was too drunk. Smoked a cigarette. I was like, oh, that was a mistake. And then went behind in the alley behind, just barfed and fell asleep outside in the alley.
In the alley.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
See, I guess I was lucky. I pretty much only drank, could only really afford to drink at the Comedy Store. So my car was always there. I did sleep plenty of nights.
I've seen you in your car.
Yeah. I got sick a couple times, I remember. I remember you and Red Band, someone else trying. You come eat with us. I was like,
yeah.
Can't. But yeah, then once I got the diabetes, I had to stop drinking.
Yeah, and then you just smoked for a while.
I just smoked for
a
while.
How much were you smoking? Like an eighth a day?
Oh, no.
Not that much.
Not that much.
Freddie would get up to that.
Yeah.
But you would smoke all the time at the store. When everybody went back to smoke, you would smoke.
Yeah. Anytime I was at the store, I was smoking.
Here's the problem, though. When everybody at the store, you ask them how much they smoke, they'll tell you how much they smoke, but that's just based on the weed that they have at home.
Right.
And then whatever you smoke at the store somehow doesn't count.
You don't count that.
But we smoked so much. We would just smoke joint after joint after joint.
Especially once PDC showed up.
Yeah. It would be a whole new thing.
Then it was like he came with a... you know, extendo machine gun clip.
God,
essentially.
It was amazing. And then you'd be like, I'm so high. And he's like, wait, are there two more new joints in the circle?
What are we doing?
Yeah. And so then it was like, whatever. I bet you were over an eighth. With
probably.
You had at home and then.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible.
So you were smoking anyway. You were smoking a sizable amount. You were smoking whenever you wanted to.
Yeah. I smoked a lot at that point.
Didn't hurt diabetes. Smoking doesn't bother.
No, it's actually surprisingly good for it.
That's a lot. That's surprisingly good.
Like where I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. Like when I quit, I had to almost double my insulin intake because smoking weed slows down the speed at which your body metabolizes food.
Wow.
So
what does that mean? Metabolizes it.
Like the way your body processes it.
It slows it down?
Slows it down.
So that means if I eat, it'll take me longer to fucking get full?
No.
Or I'll stay full longer?
It would just take longer for your body to process the food into energy, which is a good thing. Like for me, because I don't have any, I have no insulin. My body produces no insulin.
Yeah.
Like when I eat, my blood sugar will spike quicker now.
Oh, right.
Or like higher up even.
Yeah.
Because before, when I'd smoke and eat, it would slowly kind of process the food through my system.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
It was crazy. I went from, I mean, this isn't going to make sense to non-diabetics, but I give myself, when I smoked, I'd give myself 4 or 5 units of insulin per meal.
Yeah.
And then I'd give myself like 9 to 10
now?
Units of insulin at night with my other type of insulin. And now I got to give myself 8 units for every meal. So that's up 3 from the maximum I was giving myself before. And I have to give myself usually about 15 units.
How do you regulate it? Just based on how you feel?
I just do it because I have to test my blood sugar all the time.
So you got to keep it in that range.
And for like a good 2 months after I quit, it was all over the place.
Dude, I gave up sugar on Wednesdays. No candy, no whatever.
Just on Wednesdays?
I just wanted to see if I could do it one day a week.
Okay.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
But the first day I was in New York on a cool night. It was like 58, drizzly a little bit. And I had to stop. I was with Shang Wang. I had to stop. I was sweating so much at night because like, I gotta sit down. He was like, dude, you okay? I was like, it was like a 20-minute walk home. I was like, I had to go in and buy some pineapple and just fucking crush some pineapple.
Damn.
Yeah. Sugar's a motherfucker.
Yeah, that was tough because I was kind of a sugar fiend.
Yeah.
But
Mountain Dews.
Yep.
So wait. So then why did you decide to stop smoking pot? Tell me what was going through your head.
What was going through my head was just, I have nothing going on career wise. Mm-hmm. And as much as I wanted to believe, like, this isn't affecting it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not any less or more motivated. I quit for a year.
A while ago, before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was more just to try and get the people who I hung out with. I just didn't want to hang out with them anymore.
That is one of the negatives of weed. Is that, like, hold on, now I got to be associated only with the people who smoke pot.
Yeah.
I've made myself stop doing that. If I'm in a fun conversation in the front, let's say with you or something, and all the pot smokers are like, hey, we're going to smoke. And I want to smoke.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, wait, am I going to leave this cool discussion to go hang out with some people like that I don't even know that well?
Yeah.
That's a drug then.
Yeah, even if it's like two people you like and then like five people, you're just like, I don't give a shit about those people. It's like, why am I going back there?
Just stay where you are.
Yeah. I've had so many long, interesting conversations with people at the Comedy Store since I quit last year.
Really?
That I never talked to before. Wow. It's like people are... I've known Neil Brennan for 5 or 6 years, but I never really had a conversation with him of any extent until after I quit. And then
do you think that's because two options? One, you're just more socially available, or two, because now you're in the front, and instead of being like, on board, nobody here I really want to talk to, I'll just go to the back and smoke. And so instead of forcing yourself into a awkward, like, oh, hey, man, how are you?
I think it's probably a combo. It's definitely that I'm not...
Combos.
Yeah, those things are delicious.
Yeah.
It's definitely has a lot to do with one, I'm not just stoned as fuck,
right,
walking around just like whatever. Like, I'm literally, I have to make a point to entertain myself because I'm stone cold sober,
right?
And at the Comedy Store, it's really hard because everyone there is fucked up some way. They're either drunk or they're high.
Uh-huh.
But
not Neil.
Yeah, not Neil. A lot of comics aren't, but a lot of the other people there are. So it's just like, it's tough. Hanging out there is tough for me a lot of times. Like last Friday was one of the most fun nights I've had up there in a long time.
Was I there?
Yeah. So I talked to you in the parking lot. Remember we talked to Caparillo?
Oh, yeah, Friday was a good night. Yeah, I came
Joe
to the
was
improv.
There.
Rogan.
Neil was there.
Yeah, Duncan.
Duncan.
Yeah, the back. I remember looking at the back parking lot going, hey, these are only cool people here. Nobody's bothering anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking for pictures.
Great. We were all harassing D'Elia a little bit.
Fucking with them. He's like, oh, I don't know, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing that overly like goofus character.
Come on, dudes. We were giving him we were telling him he's the new Pauly Shore. Oh, no, guys, come on.
Oh, yeah. Then when you meet somebody, you go like, oh, my daughter knows him. Or like, oh, do you know Pauly Shore? And they're like, yeah, do you know Chris D'Elia? He's like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. But that was just fun.
No, he was like, no. He was really upset.
Duncan and I were pitching the worst TV show ideas to him. He just goes, I don't think that would work.
Ideas did you pitch to him?
First, it was called Faggot Dolphin. And he was like, that would never fly. And then Duncan was like, well, hold on. Is the dolphin gay? Yeah. Does the dolphin refer to himself as a faggot? Yeah, it's really self-deprecating. He's like, I'd buy that. You're just saying that to support him. And then Duncan was like, let me re-pitch. Three men and a faggot dolphin. He's like, that's just combining a movie and that terrible idea. And I was giving him like it's pretty good now, right? He said, you can't just make that face. That doesn't make this a good idea.
You're right. The proliferation of weed made the store a bit of a less social place.
Yeah. I was just always like, I'm pretty antisocial in general.
Yeah.
So
you once grew a mustache out, one of those long mustaches, the twirlies.
Yeah.
Just so you can get people away from you. And then what was the problem?
Then homeless people would talk to me all the time.
No, you said people would actually, they'll go touch your mustache.
Oh, that was creepy. The curl.
Yeah.
Oh, let me touch it. Yeah, that shit was terrible.
I did this to get away from people, and now I have actual physical contact because of it.
Yeah, that was a conversation starter that I never wanted to converse on.
Yeah,
I just thought it would be funny to look creepy, and it was.
It was for a bit.
I booked all my first commercials because I had a creepy mustache.
Mine was because I had a wristband, and then later beard and glasses.
Right.
No, always glasses, but the extra to stand out from all the glasses area was the wristband, and then later the beard.
Interesting.
Yeah. How do you act in commercials? Nah, man, you're thinking about it wrong. About that. Get some good wardrobe.
Trust me.
Get a cool looking shirt. You know what Duncan did once? He was at a commercial audition. He couldn't book him. I don't know why, but he couldn't book him. He would get callbacks a lot. Cater was the king of callbacks and not booking him.
Right.
Aaron Cater, by the way, my special is out March 13th on Comedy Central. I hope they're going to show the Bobby Lee car story bit. That was Rick Ingram, who I later got revenge. Well, that wasn't part of the story. But anyway, Aaron Cater was the Palestinian in there.
Right.
What was I just
so he booked about? Cater get callbacks.
So Duncan, he at some point when they make you slate your name, you know, say your name, slate, they say, and you're supposed to say your name, and is that it? Just go side to side.
It just depends. They'll maybe want profiles, or they'll ask you some stupid question.
I love when they do profiles, and you can tell who's the model, who's a model chick, because they go and they do like the shoulder put down, then turn, and they go,
yep.
Dude, oh, they set.
Put those breasts out there.
So Duncan, he had this idea. He goes, I got to separate myself somehow. So they're like, name. The one guy was like, Bob Smith. There's like four people in a room. Name, Ari Shaffir. Profile is cool. Name, Duncan Trussell. And then he pulls up money, like dollar bills, and he like waves it in front of his face.
So smart.
To be like, they'll remember me.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it helps. I was in a callback recently, and one of the guys I was in a callback with, he's like, what's your name? He's like, Jonesy.
No way.
And the guy goes, is that your first or last name? It's just one name. It's just Jonesy. And the guy just goes, all right, stop. Are you serious?
Stop. Are you serious?
I was dying. The guy's like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And then he just turned the camera back on like, are you really being this big a douche in front of the producers? And
commercial acting is like stand-up comedy for acting.
Yeah.
It's like the lowest level of the totem pole. You get the freaks. You don't have to be in any union. You can just do it.
Yeah,
I guess. Kind of like open mic that's what it is. It's open mic for acting.
Yeah. There's no acting required. Very rarely is there ever a shot in a commercial that's more than 3 seconds.
I had a guy. So, yeah, exactly. You don't have to. You just have to catch him bare. Oh, Bud Light? That's what I always say. Anyone can do it. Anyone could do it.
Yeah.
But I had some guy. It was some like EA Sports commercial or something. And it was, I don't know if you ever saw it. It was on eventually, but it was like you're at one corner of the street and there's a crossing guard like holding people and then looking away. And then all of a sudden you get the baseball mentality in your head and you start to like, I'm going to steal the base or go across the block. As soon as she turns, I'm going to fucking run for it. And so this guy was like, they were like, okay, you're just kind of like there and then you have to like steal a base and kind of slide a little bit. And this one guy was like, we're waiting in the waiting room at 200 South La Brea. And he goes, do you think I should tell him that I played high school ball? I play a bit. I'm like, I don't think it matters. He's like, I brought my glove. Like, they're not calling for it. See, because we're businessmen.
Yeah.
So we're not actually playing right now. We're businessmen.
Do you understand that you're an actor?
And he goes, all right. I'm like, I mean, tell him if you want. He goes, okay, whatever. So then I'm waiting. He goes in. All of a sudden you hear, bang! And we're like, I wonder what that was. Huh. And you get in. I get in when it's my turn a few later, and there's a giant hole in the wall. He had slid so hard that he's gone into the wall and crushed it. It's the only time Ross Lacey was like, hey, Ari, come into my office. I want to show you something. I want to show you this guy's audition. And you just see him fucking doing it.
What a dumb shit.
That and another time, somebody – remember that Ready Whip commercials?
Sure.
It was at Ocean Park where they were casting it.
Okay.
Ready whip. You had to like get real excited about it.
Right.
It'd be like a Jay Davis thing. He could have gotten it.
Yeah.
But they had Ready Whip there and you had to like pretend you're taking some of it and putting it in your mouth. But this guy did it straight up instead of down. So he was just doing whippets.
Right.
And didn't realize. He was just spraying it and just doing whippets. And he goes, Ready Whip. Whoa. He starts fumbling around. He falls. He crashes into a stool.
Damn.
He tries to get up. He's just got whippets in him.
I would just use that footage and be like, this is our new commercial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a blooper reel.
God, I would love to get that footage and put it up on YouTube now.
Dude just whipped out of his brain. Wait a minute.
So you decided you didn't want to be this loser who was doing had no job and was smoking weed all day?
Pretty much. It was just like, I just didn't have anything going on. And it was like, this is one thing I know I can at least try. Control. I can stop doing this.
You also weren't
and see
doing
it
well
helps.
Financially. So the idea to spend money on a party drug, that's the wrong term, but like
my other issue with that was that I didn't have to spend money on it.
Okay.
Because one of my odd jobs that I'll do is I'll trim medical marijuana for people.
Yeah.
Like there's like four or five different places where I'll work.
Yeah.
And part of the deal is they just give it to you.
How much do you make on that?
You can make good money. Like, I can make $400-$500 a day.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
What do you get paid by the fucking weight?
Yeah.
Oh, you do. The more you do, the.
And so it's like usually it's like a 12-hour day.
$400-$500 a day.
Yeah, and it's, you work 12 hours, but you're just sitting there making weed look good.
And like pulling off in big buds and like.
Yeah, you take a plant.
Uh huh.
And you trim all the buds off of the stems. And then you take all the buds and you clip all the, it all comes, there's a bunch of little leaves growing out of it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you sit there with these real sharp little clipper scissors and you clip all the leaves off. So then.
Do the leaves get you high or no?
No, the leaves they're just solar leaves. So okay. It's literally just to get light so the buds can grow.
Oh.
But there, you wouldn't get high off of it.
And the red things, you got the red hairs off?
Yeah. You get rid of the red hairs if there are. I mean, good weed has very little red hair, actually. Right.
It doesn't even grow it?
Yeah, it wouldn't grow it. It's like it's caused by phosphorus or something in the fertilizer.
Oh, yeah. It used to be a sign of like, this is good weed.
That's what you thought.
Yeah, now I realize like, no. That's just what drug dealers said in the old days.
Yeah, because it had red hair on it. Yeah, that's how it was in Kansas. It's like if I got weed that had red hairs, I'm like, oh, I got the fire.
Yeah, you think it's good.
I still thought that was a good sign. And I mean, it is, because it really only grows on great weed, but if that weed was grown to perfection, the red hairs wouldn't be there.
That's good to know.
There'd be a few, but it wouldn't be something that's consistent on there.
Was it hard to quit?
Fuck yeah.
It was.
Oh yeah, it was tough. It's just, one, my diabetes was going out of control. But on top of that, it was just part of my routine at that point. And it's like, you know, when you live the lives we live, there's not a lot going on a lot of days,
right?
So it's like
no, there's not.
It's like if you're watching TV or you're gonna watch a movie or you're gonna do something like that,
may as well get high,
might as well smoke and enjoy it.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah, it's not getting any worse.
Fucking 10:45.
And like, I hadn't, it'd been a couple of years, like once I start booking commercials, then I never missed an audition again. Like back in the day when I hadn't booked anything, I was like, fuck it, I'm not right for that. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
And then I booked that stupid overactive bladder commercial. Or it was Tobias.
Tobias, yeah. Overactive bladder. College kid.
I played a college kid.
And how old were you when you booked that?
28.
28. You booked a freshman in college.
Yeah.
Their parents were dropping you off.
Yes.
You played a 17 and a half to 18 year old.
When I showed up for the audition, it was me and a bunch of kids whose parents had to bring them to the audition. It called for just recently graduated high school is what the audition was.
Wow.
And Aqua called me and they're like, you got to go this thing. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But I had booked a few commercials at that point. So I'm like, whatever. I just got to go. Yeah, I did the Geico thing and a series of Cheetos commercials. And so I was just like, whatever, I'll go to the audition. I don't have anything to do. But this is stupid.
Yeah.
And then I got to the audition and it was me and a bunch of literally like 15, 16, 17-year-old kids and their parents. And I'm just like,
How did you book that?
I walked up to the guy, I think I might be too old. He's like, yeah, just stick around. I mean, if you're here and you have time, stick around. It's only going to take like 20 minutes. We're going pretty fast. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, fine.
So I'm just like, all right. So I sat there and it was, we filmed at not the 2701, but the other studio next to it on Ocean Park. So I stayed and I did the audition and I felt like a dumb shit. Just like, this is absolutely retarded. And then like a week later they called me and they're like, yeah, you have a call back.
I'm like, and you're like, what?
Yeah, I'm like, okay. And I showed up for the callback and like Jeff Altman was there doing the dad
as
part.
Dad.
He says, oh man, we might book this together. I'm just like, yeah, you might book this. So
you look like a dad. I do not.
This is not
like
gonna fly. And then I booked it and it was one of those things where I'm just like, wow, I really have to go to all of these. I really don't. I can't tell. And like they called me, asked like, do we need to get a teacher? And I'm like, for what? And I thought they meant like an acting coach.
Oh my God.
But they literally thought that I might be in high school and that
and
I was missing
miss
class.
A day at school, so you have to get a tutor. So they pay for.
Yeah, they'd need to bring the teacher on set.
Wow.
And I go, for what? And they said, are you missing class? I go, I'm 28 years old.
I finished university
yeah, like
6 years ago.
It's been a long time.
I've read a book in over 5 years.
I don't I'm 28, and the lady goes, probably don't tell the director. I'm just like, all right. And so, like, what the second day of the shoot, director just asked me, he's like, how old are you? I'm like, do you really want to know? And he's like, I don't care. We've already filmed a bunch of stuff. I'm not replacing you now. It's like, I'm 28. He's like, no way. And then he's like, you look so young. And I'm like, yeah.
You do look young.
And then he gets like, you want to see a picture of my son? He's a freshman in college. He plays baseball at Northridge or Fullerton or somewhere. Showed me a picture of his son, full beard. Dude looked like he was 10 years older than me.
That's why you could believe you.
Like, all right, whatever.
That's why I could believe you.
But it was just one of those things, like, you just don't know what people's perspective is, and it's so just a look.
Yeah.
And
So you had some money off that.
Yeah.
But you were bored. We're talking about, you're bored all day, so it's hard not to smoke.
Yeah, it's just hard not to smoke.
I look at that pipe sometimes, and I'm just like, meh. Especially because I don't get high. I mean, I'm sure at this point, when you get high, you're high for 2 hours max.
Right.
And then you're completely sober.
Yeah. You definitely don't feel anything.
So if it's noon, or let's say it's 2 p.m., it's a more normal time, I'm doing something, and I have to meet somebody at 5:30, I can smoke now, and it won't
You're not going to be sitting there all stoned.
On what's going on later.
Yeah.
I can meet my parents at 5:30.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So then it's like, why not? Just get high. But then the problem is, then at 5, you're like, let me get high again.
Yeah, I need to get high again. Yeah. I was just kind of in that funk. And then the year before, I quit in January of last year.
Yeah.
And the year before that, I didn't book anything. They reran that Tavaya's overactive bladder commercial for a second year.
That's crazy.
So they had to do like buyouts or whatever. So I made a little bit of money, but I didn't book anything else. And I just kind of wanted to see, like, will this improve my life?
Did your wife, we're going to talk about it if it did later, but did your wife, was she pushing you to stop? Not like, you need to stop, like in a naggy way, but like in a nice way. Was she pushing that way at all?
Because
she would come back there for those smoke circles a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd have like a hit sometimes.
Yeah. She would partake some, but I wouldn't say she pushed me, but she definitely was supportive of
quitting. Right.
And I mean, she was like, yeah, I won't too, if that helps. Because, like, she'd get home from work sometimes or whatever. And
place a reek of weed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And she knew what was going on. So she was definitely supportive, and I was moody as fuck for...
Were you really?
Like a month.
So
like,
you got moody. You got Tommy moody?
Oh, I was like full on, just like, whatever, I don't care. Wow. Like, I would lose my shit. Just my temper was horrible for a couple weeks, and I was definitely going through withdrawals. And the other big deal was the diabetes thing. Like, it didn't connect to me right away. Like, this is my diabetes is affected by my pot smoking. Oh. It was just like, why the fuck is my blood sugar 200 above what it should be?
Oh, you had to find that out for yourself.
Yeah. Like, no one told me.
Did you research that, or just kind of make the observation yourself? Did you go online and say, does it have effects?
Well, once it was out of control for like 2 weeks, then I was Googling it, and it was like, there's people who have type 2 that, like, smoking is essentially the treatment they give themselves.
You're type 1.
I'm type 1, though. Wow. So it still will affect your body the same way, but like, I couldn't get by with just smoking, for instance, because my body produces no insulin.
By the way, if you want, go to look for Diabetes. It was the podcast you did with me before about diabetes.
Yeah, I got a couple great responses from people that are like, eat a cupcake, faggot. So thanks to those fans
thanks
who listen to that
thank
one.
Listeners
yeah.
For your eat a cupcake fucking observations.
Yeah. I was definitely moody. She was real cool through all that. It was just kind of like, okay,
really?
Yeah.
Maybe, but then that went away?
Yeah, after like after 3 or 4 weeks. I was probably moody for like 2 weeks. And then after that, then I wasn't as, it wasn't like I need to smoke. Like, that's what my brain was thinking for those 2 weeks. Was like, it'd make this all feel better
if you smoked.
Yeah, it was like full on Birdman. Like,
it will do
how
that.
Did we get to this point?
It will do that. If I'm like, I gotta, and just like, all right, just smoke for a second and calm yourself down. Just take a hit.
Yeah, I was raging. I booked that Lowe's commercial I did in that 2.5 week
really
time frame of losing it.
Why?
And
did it help?
I went into the audition and they were like, yeah, just, they just want you to yell angrily. I'm like, that's what we're doing. It was like five of us in a row.
Perfect for that time period.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. I was like sweating it. I was literally sweating from detoxing. You know, went down the line and people were like, ah, like people don't, they don't know what to do. And I mean, that's a weird audition, especially if they bring five of you in and they just want to see each of you yell.
You yell, then you're trying to outdo and be different than the other guys instead of how you would really yell.
Yeah. I full on just screamed like I was going into Incredible Hulk mode.
Yeah.
And they're just like, okay. And then I got a call back. And then my call back, I was walking in, it was at 205 La Brea or whatever. And Boonshock was standing outside when I got there. And I'm just like, Boonshakalaka, what are you doing, Ricky Ingram?
Oh, 205 La Brea? Yeah.
He had his cart down there.
One of his, he's what?
He had his little shopping cart.
Yeah, one of his stashes is by there.
Yeah.
You know, Carboni saw him there once and Carboni said hi. And from then on, he would always hug Carboni.
Love him.
And really help, like be into it.
Yeah, Boone and I are thick as thieves ever since I had him on that that Rick Ingram experience thing I tried to film.
What was that?
I filmed it like two summers ago, and it was just essentially a talk show where I do crowd work to people, and then I'll just bring them up, and they are the guest on the talk show.
Oh, really?
So I filmed it at Pink Taco.
Really?
Uh-huh. And Boonshock was my Ed McMahon.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
And he was great. Like I thought he'd be like distracting me. He'd just sit there and then I'd be like, Boone, what do you think? Then he'd just say whatever nonsense he says. And it was hilarious. Like Boone was by far some of the best parts where I'm just like,
ridiculous. Screaming. Black Pierre tried to put him in a movie once and he tried to be like, just be a homeless guy. Just do whatever. Yeah. He couldn't do it. He goes, Boone, just be yourself.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. He goes, Boone, okay, forget the lines, Boone. Just talk whatever. And he would like, look straight into the camera. Yeah. Like, try to act. Like, Boone.
Just why can't you do this?
So weird.
But yeah, it was very amusing for that. At one point, one of the girls I brought up said that one of her side gigs was she dresses up as Disney princesses and performs at little girls' birthday parties.
That's creepy.
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I'll play Belle." And you know,
crowd work at the Pink Taco. You would just go there and like.
No. We had Jay Davis was doing that show up there, so we rented. We got that room rented out, and Sarah Tiana got like a full production crew of people.
Oh yeah, Tiana was involved in that,
and then we had Jay walking around the crowd with a microphone so you could hear what people's responses were when I crowd worked them. And then when I found someone that I thought was interesting, I'd just bring them up and then we'd do like a sit down.
Big J's crowd work show when it comes to LA.
Yeah. I'd be down.
What's your fucking deal? That's the name of the show.
That's awesome.
It could be what's your fucking deal? I don't know what the
emphasis is really key there.
But the point is it's all crowd work. No jokes allowed.
That's great.
Yeah, you got to do that when you're in LA, if he ever comes to LA to do it. But was sleeping a problem when you quit?
Yeah.
Through the night or getting to sleep?
It was tough. I don't sleep well in general just because I'll wake up, not a lot, but sometimes I'll wake up. It's actually not as much an issue now, but my blood sugar would get low in the night and I'd wake up and have to drink apple juice or something just to get through the night.
The life sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. But now that I don't smoke and my blood sugar doesn't get as low anymore,
yeah,
that's not as big an issue.
You can
but
sleep through,
yeah. The main thing with sleep that was weird was dreaming.
Dreams,
again.
Right?
Yeah,
dude. I wanted to see if I could go 3 days without because I hadn't done 3 days, and I had been trying to go 3 days without. I'm like, I gotta do that at some point soon for like a year and a half.
Yeah,
I made it to like 2 days once, and then I made it to three, and I was like, I kept going. I went to 11 or 13, but right around day 7 or 8. The dreams start pouring in. Describe.
Yeah, like at first I'm just like, oh, I'm having weird withdrawal dreams. But then after like a couple months, I just realized like I just remember my dreams now, and I have fucked up dreams because I'm just a fucking my brain is crazy.
You think you just don't dream when you're smoking?
I don't know if it's either you don't dream or don't like that
doesn't like record.
Yeah, I mean, you might not just not remember it. Or possibly even, like I know, like people always talk about how they need to drink to sleep, but when you're drunk, your body actually can't sleep. So even though you're unconscious, you don't get the same rest that your body gets. sober.
Oh, really?
Like if you pass out drunk, none of that really counts towards sleep. That's why like you wake up and you don't feel like you slept well.
Yeah, you wake up sometimes like an hour and a half after you went to sleep.
Yeah.
Like fully awake, like fuck.
Yeah, it's like your body can't actually sleep when it's filled with alcohol. So I'm guessing that might have something to do with it too. But like I was having weird dreams. I still have them now. I haven't smoked in over a year at least. But
it just continued?
Yeah.
I remember just how vivid they were.
Yeah.
It's like I was in a place. It was like Avatar.
It
was like I'm not there, but I'm there.
I have I'm just addicted to information at this point. Like I just read shit on the internet all day, news websites. And for a while when when Russia invaded Ukraine or whatever was going on, I was always reading about it, just like finding out what was going on. And to me, Vladimir Putin is like one of the craziest, most interesting sons of bitches out there.
Crazy.
He's fucking insane. And he was like the head of the KGB in East Germany at one point.
Do you know what he did when him and Obama were in the same place? Or I think Obama was in Russia visiting. He went and swam. It was like freezing cold outside. And he swam in a lake behind Obama's where he was staying. So Obama could see him.
Just what a man he was.
What a man he was.
Yeah, he's nuts. And so I read all this stuff. And then for like a week straight, I kept having these dreams that Vlad Putin hired me to be his personal hitman.
Really?
And for like 3 nights, the dream was just, I worked in an office in Russia and everyone just did normal like data entry. And I sat in a cubicle and just would get on a computer. And then a couple times a day, Vlad would show up with a person.
Yeah.
And he always called me Rich in my dream, which I always was like, I wonder why he calls me Rich.
How does he know my whole name?
Rich, take care of this. And then my job was just to execute this guy with a gun in a cubicle while other people were just typing on a computer. And I would just shoot a dude in the head. And then he had goons drag the body away. And then I'd just sit back down, get on the computer. And then after a couple of days of that dream, it was all just me and Vlad Putin doing like outdoor X game activities. It'd be like us sea doing or water skiing.
Really?
Yeah.
Motocross.
And he'd be like, Rich, come on, my friend. Let's go. All right, Vlad, let's do it. It'd be us fucking snowboarding.
Wow.
And then I'm just like, man, what the fuck is wrong with me? And then it lasted like 2 weeks and it wasn't in the news all the time and I stopped
dreaming about that.
Dreaming about Vlad Putin.
God, but it's like you can touch him in those dreams. So super, are they as vivid now as they were then? Your dreams or is
it's still pretty much every morning when I wake up I'm like, oh okay, that was just dreaming.
You still have to do that? That's what it was during those 5-6 days where it was like, wait, what? Okay, no.
Yeah.
All right. No, that wasn't.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I love when you wake up from a dream and like you cheated on a diet or a girlfriend or smoked a cigarette or something, and you wake up with this feeling like, oh motherfucker,
yeah,
I did that. Now I got to, and then you're like, no, I didn't do it.
No, I didn't
the
do
feeling
it.
Stays.
Yeah,
I cheated. It's like I have to start over. My streak starts over.
Right.
I had a cigarette, like, but you didn't have a cigarette. It was just a dream, and you don't believe it for a while. You're like, maybe I'm just mixing up dream and reality.
I had dreams, for randomly throughout the first 6 months where people were smoking pot in dreams and they'd be, hey, hit this. I'd be like, no, I can't. And then sometimes I would hit it in my dream and then I would wake up and be like, no, I didn't. I didn't smoke that.
Yeah.
Like, did I get high last night? I dream, a lot of my dreams are obviously the Vlad Putin is an exception, but I have dreams a lot about hanging out at the Comedy Store.
Really?
Like a lot of my dreams are just like stuff that are part of my real life.
Just you just there like.
So it's just like, damn it.
So. Oh, right. Because then you think it's real.
Yeah. I wake up and have that moment where I'm like, huh. But it's always the Comedy Store back in our heyday.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the Saved by the Bell, the new class era that the Comedy Store is now.
Feel left out now? Feel a little bit like
I feel like I don't fit in with the people who are there every night. That's why like Friday was so much fun.
A bunch of people.
It was like a bunch of people from my era, where it was like these are the people that I kind of grew up in the Comedy Store with.
You don't want to be that old guy that comes back.
No.
like Altman, who like finds like Carrie Snow and Argus, and like just talk to them. Like, you want to at least be a part of the place.
Yeah.
But it's hard when someone like, wait, when did you stop becoming an open micer and start becoming a guy who everybody knows?
Right.
Like, when did you make that leap?
When was that transition? I'm just not there enough. Especially like after I quit drinking, I'm there a lot less. And then after I quit smoking, then I'm there even less.
You come and go now?
If I can.
Yeah.
It's just hard. Like, I mean, if I see friends, I mean, you know, it's rare that I'm there and there's like any one of our, from our group of like real friends that are there.
Do you even go back and smoke with those people? Let's say some, like Ren and Zisi's there and I don't know, me, and then we're going back to smoke. Do you go back to smoke with those people or not even? Or just like, I'll catch up with you guys when you come out? Smoke yourself, but just to be there. Like Simone will come back.
I'd go hang out. Yeah, if you guys were going back there, I'll go hang out with, you know, Pete and people, and they smoke, and I just stay there.
It.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It's still one of those things where it's like, if it's you and Steve and Pete and someone, I'm in. If it's you and Steve and 20 other people standing around, I'm just like, I don't want to fucking deal with these people. I wouldn't talk to those people.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Talk to them. What was I going to say about something coming back? Well, how long till your like memory came back? Or was it ever affected by that?
I don't
really
know.
Gene Del Rey said 6 months before he got like his memory was back to where it was before he was an everyday pot smoker.
Yeah, I mean, I probably did, but I didn't feel like I was losing memory per se.
Okay.
So, but it was probably 2 months before I felt normal just being a sober person.
Wow.
Like to where I didn't have that thought like this would be a lot cooler if I was stoned.
That's the problem when you have to like I need a pot. Like you're missing the thing that's happening.
And there's still like random times where I'm like, God, that like when I saw the Lego movie sometime last fall.
That would have been better high.
Yeah, and when I got down, I'm like, I probably would have enjoyed that a lot more if I was stoned.
I saw Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh.
In the best possible scenario, we got super high, like super high, and went to see Interstellar.
Sure.
But Kathleen McGee, remember her?
No.
Chubby chick from Toronto. Now she lives in Vancouver.
I've never been to Toronto.
No, but she lived here for a while.
Oh.
Anyway. But she was in Vancouver, and we were going to see Interstellar. Got really high because we figured visual, whatever. Sure. And then she looked at the wrong theater, and they were just like, it's not playing here. Like, there's no 330? Like, there's no any 30. There's just, it's not playing here. So they're like, fuck. They're like, all right, what should we do? And then we bought a ticket for like the Hunger Games 2. And then we were like, you know what? You want to just go to Dumb and Dumber? We're like, yeah. So we had no expectations. We didn't even go there for that.
Right.
And we were super, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
Because there was no letdown possible. We were just like, ah, fuck it. Let's just sneak into it.
Right.
So it was pretty good for that.
Yeah. I just saw that like a month ago.
Yeah.
Stone sober. And I was like, this is fucking awful.
Did you see American Sniper?
No. I don't really have that much interest.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a war movie. From what I hear, it's a war movie where a guy talks on his cell phone throughout most of the war.
Yeah, it's horribly acted. He's in the middle of a war zone. He's still talking to his wife.
Yeah, it just seems
weird. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why does she keep up with him all the time? She was a horrible actress. He was a bad actor in a lot of scenes.
I gained weight for this part.
Yeah, preparation. The bar scene where he meets his wife is like one of the worst acted scenes in history.
It sounds terrible.
Whenever he's joking around with his buddies in Afghanistan, it's always like, "What are you guys doing? Learn a line."
Yeah, I'll probably skip that one. I have a tendency to see a lot of movies right before the Oscars, just because I want to be able to hate the decisions.
The Oscar decisions, yeah, it's a good idea. Get into the discussion.
That one, I never
see Whiplash.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
I thought what's his name was good, and everyone else is terrible.
The Oz guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Corinne.
Yeah, the kid was off a little, but he was okay.
He's just unlikable. The kid's just unlikable. Like, I don't want him to succeed.
You don't want him to win.
I want him to just be berated. I want him to be like, you little faggot.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole time. And then the kid blows his brains out. Then I'm like, this is a good movie.
Jarek Grody's theory is that it's all an allegory about a man welcoming in a new gay to the gay community. Like, he's trying to push him into being an accepting butthole.
Hmm.
So he's got to let himself loosen up.
I see what's going on.
Let go.
You got to put the pinky in before the middle finger, and then before the middle finger, before the penis.
Yeah, and eventually that was him realizing that, cool, I'm a full gay now.
Wow. It's an interesting take.
Yeah. Power bottom. He became the power bottom because he took control.
Yikes.
Yeah. Did food, did that start tasting worse? Now, is there any difference? Is food still delicious at times?
I mean, for me, it's all so shitty because the diabetes thing. It was like food is just something I have to do still. And it's when I stopped smoking, it was I definitely didn't have my hunger for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I don't want to eat.
Yeah,
but I have
to. You had to.
And then eventually it got better. Now food is kind of like that's my thing. Like I want to make myself something delicious and enjoy that, and that's my enjoyment.
Yeah.
Whereas before it's just like, let's just smoke and
eat. I remember when I started smoking, and this has kind of gone away, I've realized lately. When I started smoking, food would taste so... Me and Yusuf were on the way to San Jose once, driving together, or San Francisco or Sacramento, somewhere there. Maybe probably San Jose. You know that In-N-Out that's halfway up?
Yeah.
There's In-N-Out somewhere.
On the 5.
Yeah, on the 5. There's probably a few of them, but there's one I've stopped in like a few times.
Sure.
So it's probably near the halfway point. You get gas, and we got high. And Nick was just like, he didn't get high much at the time. He still doesn't. Now he doesn't get high at all. But he's like, this is so good.
I do. I remember that. I remember when I started smoking regularly, everything being great.
I was like, wow.
The first time that I smoked a lot was the summer I lived in Colorado.
Yeah.
And it was after my freshman year of college. And I had smoked a couple times my freshman year of college. But when I lived in Colorado, there was nothing for us to do. It was me and my buddy Brandon. And we worked at a resort in Estes Park, which is like right at the entrance to Rocky Mountain National Park.
Okay.
And it was us and a bunch of Christian losers.
Yeah.
And like we had nothing in common with them. We met one other person that was cool.
Is that guy from your old joke about the guy asking if you would believe in Jesus? Is you're at Rock? Something like that?
Yeah. Do you get something about we get high on Jesus?
Yeah.
How much is a quarter ounce? That was my old like stupid that bit.
You were living there.
So yeah, we were living there, and we met this other cool dude from Texas that smoked, and it was like these people all fucking blow, and we weren't old enough to buy alcohol, so like we couldn't do that.
So
and cool Uncle Richard showed up like week two we were there. And was like, hey, I heard you smoke pot now. Like, he'd had a conversation with my mom. Yeah. And he was like, he talked to my mom. She's like, yeah, Rick's living in Estes this summer. And he, I think he's kind of, you know, experimenting. Because I was straight edge in high school.
Oh, really?
I didn't do anything.
Proud straight edge or just didn't do anything?
I just didn't do anything. It wasn't like, you shouldn't drink. Right. It was just like, I don't drink or smoke.
Okay. Those are better.
She's like, yeah, he smokes pot now some. And Uncle Richard, he was on point. He showed up. The second week I was there, it was just like, yeah, I thought maybe we could all go for a hike and maybe get high. And we were like, oh, that would be great.
Sounds perfect.
And then he gave us a giant bag. It was just like, I don't think I ever gave you a birthday present. So here's for 18 years. We were like, thank you. And then that lasted us a while, but we started smoking a lot. And then by that point, we met someone in Boulder that we could get herb from.
That's when I started smoking a lot. I was with Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
We were coming back from, I think, a funeral of that guy Mask from Tap Out. The one with the face paint all the time.
I've never watched any MMA, so I don't really know. But
he died like racing his car or something.
Badass. Yeah. The way we should all go. Fast and furiously.
I'm so mad at this turn that I can't hold on to. Anyway, on the way back, Eddie, one of his students, owned a shop. And he goes, Joe, I want to take you there. This guy is so cool. We went down there, and whenever a celebrity goes in a shop, they make him like a goodie bag.
Sure.
So I didn't have my license there. When I was walking through the threshold, I'm like, I was thinking, like, I don't think I'm allowed to be in here. But my thought was like, should I tell somebody? And they're like, just don't tell anybody until they ask.
Yeah.
And they made Rogan a goodie bag, and they made Eddie Bravo a goodie bag, and the guy who's making the goodie bag of different weeds and stuff. You know, right. They had a gram of like 7 different kinds.
Right.
It cost them $17.
You know? They don't care.
He goes, oh, should I make the other guy one too? Me. And he looks out, Atari, I think was the guy's name, the owner. He's like, yeah, And so he just made me, you know, and like I said, you knew before where it's like I had that eighth for months and months, like 8 months. So now I had like 3/8, 4/8, like just it on me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm not going to go through it. There's no chance of me running out. So I just started smoking more.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I got to get a license now.
Yeah. Well, I remember then when I started smoking that summer, everything I ate, like a lot of the time we would eat at the cafeteria in the resort because it was free.
Yeah.
And we'd get all stoned and then we'd go eat. And it was the shittiest food when I was sober. We just, I'd be like, oh, this is so good. Oh, it'd be like rotini pasta with meat sauce. And it's probably rancid.
Garbage fucking left it with some other kind of pasta yesterday.
Yeah. This is so good.
Yeah.
They really know how to make Italian food here at the YMCA of the Rockies in Estes Park, Colorado. Oh, this garlic bread is to die for. It's just a piece of bread with melted butter and garlic powder on
just
it.
Just a little bit of sprinkle.
Oh, my God. We got Chef Boyardee back there himself. Unbelievable.
That goes away, though, eventually. That amazing taste. It doesn't really... I smoke before I eat now, but then it's like, it doesn't really do anything to me anymore.
But again, that's good. That just goes back to the you smoking enough that it's like you're smoking to be normal almost.
Right, right. I'd have to get way high to get that taste.
Yeah. Or you'd have to not smoke for a while. Like, I'm sure if I started smoking again... For at least a couple of weeks, everything would be like, this tastes amazing. But you have to get away from smoking to be normal in order to get the effects like that. I mean, you still get high, but you're not going to get the added benefits of, you smell that?
Yeah.
I can smell cinnamon rolls from 2 miles away.
God, every flavor like gets like separated in your mouth. You can really taste all of it.
Yeah.
But then that goes away.
Yeah.
And then it gets replaced with? Weird sounds that don't exist. You ever get that when you were high?
Probably,
just like be talking about it, and you look behind you.
Do you hear a high pitch noise somewhere?
Not even that, just to hear like something like that behind you, and it's just there's nothing there, there's no one there all the time.
Notice it, yeah.
Or a squirrel, like, is that a squirrel? Nope, it's nothing at all. Just on my periphery, I would like hallucinate.
Yeah. No, yeah, now I think food tastes great, but that's what I'm looking forward to. It's like, oh. For dinner, I'm going to make myself something good.
Will you still do? That was, some fear was in me, but now maybe it's alleviated a little bit. Of just like once I stop smoking pot, if I do, no food will taste good.
Oh, that's definitely not the case.
That's not the case. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like the withdrawals for a couple of weeks, everything was kind of shitty, but after that, food tastes great.
Rogan was talking about the celebrity rehab, and Dr. Drew thinks that weed is just as bad a drug as any of the other ones and pills, whatever. So he invited some people who were hooked on weed to celebrity rehab. One of the guys was, Eric Roberts.
Okay.
And so all these people, it's the first week, everyone's detoxed completely. You can't get any drugs in there. Yeah. So everyone's fucking shivering and shaking. And Eric Roberts is reading the morning paper, you know, eating eggs and just be like, yeah, no, I mean, I'd love some pot, but you can't get any in here. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Just like the easiest.
That's awesome.
The easiest come down, the easiest withdrawal of any drug.
I think it's absurd to think it's... in any way equivalent to
those things,
those hard drugs or pills. Or
my mother always thinks that she puts it under the umbrella of drugs.
Yeah,
heroin, weed, it's all the same shit.
I remember my little sister, she's 17 now, but when I think she was like a freshman in high school or something at the time, and I was home and she made some comment about I don't know if I said something about pot or my mom said something about pot. And my little sister goes, I mean, it's not any different than Coke. And we're all like,
it's very different than Coke.
At the same time, it's like, I don't want my 15-year-old sister smoking. So I'm just, I think I didn't say anything. And my mom was like, well, it's not really as bad as cocaine is. She was like, you don't think so? She was like, no, I mean, you shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. But smoking pot's not going to be the same as someone who does coke. She's like, yeah. Oh, and I'm just like, phew. Because I was about ready to be like, whoa, hold on. Don't judge me like you would judge those people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm less bad. I'm bad, but I'm less bad. What did your friends and the people around you, how did they react when you stopped smoking?
They all thought I was insane.
Were they angry at you? Were any of them mad?
No.
I find that when you don't smoke or when I got off my smartphone to a flip phone, same shit, If you stop drinking,
yeah,
people like, oh, what do you think you're better? It's almost like an attitude thing.
Yeah, with the drinking, I lucked out because it was the doctor's orders, and so people were just like, "Ah, it's your life sucks." Sorry. Yeah,
but it feels like almost like they feel like they're being attacked, their lifestyle choice, and you're like, "No, no, no, man, do what you want." But they feel that attack.
I think Pete, because I hang out with Pete a lot. I hung out a lot more then. I think he was just kind of like disappointed, like, "Oh, that sucks." Because
right, we like to smoking pot with you, and,
yeah.
That's how I felt when Simone quit drinking. It's like, no, I like drinking with you.
Yeah.
You were such a good drunk.
And then for Wheeler, it's just like I'd go to social events, whatever. I'd hang out with my friends from Kansas City. And everyone, it was part of what we always did was we'd smoke together.
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, oh, okay. Do you want something else? Like, no, I can't have any fun
There's
food.
Nothing else I can do.
I can't drink, so.
Can you take mushrooms?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't, but I don't know if I could. I probably could, I guess, but...
Why wouldn't you?
I just don't have any desire anymore.
Fair enough.
Do that stuff.
You've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was fun in college or...
When people say they don't do mushrooms, like, why? They go, I used to. I just don't know. I lost the interest. I'm like, oh, okay. That I can accept.
Yeah.
As long as you've done it and enjoyed it, you got your thing out of it. Great.
Did you see that article about the old dude that ate mushrooms recently?
And what did he do?
Nothing.
By the way, Shroomfest is August 29th through 31st this year.
Make sure you partake.
Check your calendars and buy mushrooms now. It's so hard to find last minute.
Yeah.
Tell me about this old man who took mushrooms.
Yeah, he got a cancer diagnosis,
uh-huh,
and he got real depressed, and then he went through treatments, and he went into remission, but he still just felt terrible.
Depression came with the cancer. Yeah, I've heard about that.
And they did some school, some college. I think he was a college professor. That's how he got involved. Some college is doing a study on how
psilocybin.
Eating mushrooms has helped people in the past.
Yeah.
So, dude ate them, and part of it was like them studying him, like laying on the couch, being like, oh, I've never felt so alive.
That's part of the study.
Yeah.
The scientific study.
And then, like, observing it, but then his mood afterwards. It never went back to being really depressed. Like, it
really is.
He felt so much better after that. Like, it opened his eyes to, like, I'm alive and I'm not going to die despite what my fear was. And, like, he's just depressed because he kept feeling like at any minute this cancer is going to come back and then it's going to be worse and it's going to spread and I'm going to die.
Mushrooms definitely are a mood enhancer.
Yeah. It changes his whole perspective.
Nothing's that bad. I'm doing great, especially for, like, a white American.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I've really got stuff good.
Yeah.
Well, like, almost like take yourself, like feel what it's like to be born like as a woman in Nigeria or something, you know, a poor, and you're like, oh, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, but I'm not. I'm here as a white, this is amazing. I made $12,000 last year. You know, you feel so great about it. I just ate a taco.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, when I read that article, for I guess it's because of your being the Pope of Shroomfest. I was like, oh, I wonder if I already saw this.
I think I have. I think his wife said she wasn't happy about it at first because she felt like he was giving up or taking the easy way out. I think that's what she said, easy way out. And then I remember it now a little bit. And then she's like, no, but it turns out it's great.
Yeah, it made him happy.
So people weren't that upset with you for smoking weed, for not smoking weed.
No, people gave me shit at the Comedy Store about it, just being like, why? Why would you not?
Yeah,
like, I'm just trying not to. Like, and I was such an angry comic for.
You were an angry. We all were, but you were
months.
For longer.
Well, I mean, what? Right after I quit.
Oh,
smoking,
really?
Like my sets were like I was just mean. Like I was taking all of my aggression.
You're smiling
out
with the crowd
on the crowd.
Just
and I'd get off stage, and people be like, "That was awesome," but it's only like comics.
Comics would love. Like, comics love the pain.
That was great. Yeah, and then eventually I got over it.
I mean, I remember when I heard you quit the first time for the year, I think, and I was like, wow, you're like, I'm not doing anything in my life, and I smoke pot all day.
Yeah.
And that seems like a combination that's like a stereotype that I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out with. I don't want to be like these guys, like guys like that you're like,
yeah,
I don't want to be like them. And I'm like them.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I saw Pid. I went to see Pid, the Pid Pidstein.
Yeah, I saw him when I was in Buffalo last year.
Buffalo, that's where I saw him.
Yeah.
And he was talking about all the weed there. It gives you couch lock, a term I'd never heard before. But then when I understood it, it means you just get stuck on the couch. Like, right. Oh, you can watch Family Guy and eat Doritos in front of you and that's it. But I'm like, why would you want that weed? Because he prefers it. He goes, because the weather is garbage for 6 straight months.
Yeah.
And you want it, you can't leave your couch anyway. So you want it at least to be able to make it a nice situation.
Yeah.
But like,
see that.
That also makes you a stereotype of a do-nothing.
Yeah. Pid was pretty disappointed that I didn't smoke when I saw him last year.
Really?
That sucks. What do?
I found a weed, though. I found where it's at. The weed out here.
I know where it's at now.
I know what's that at.
Yeah, I did the PidCast.
Did you? I did too. He fucked up the audio though.
On mine, it was me and Ren Azizi, and he's like, Steve's like, where can people find a PidCast? I ain't releasing these. He wasn't releasing them at the time.
What?
That was his. I ain't releasing them. I'm gonna release them all some days like a bootleg or something. We're like, that's not really how podcasts work.
You can't bootleg your own shit. What do you mean bootleg it?
No, it's gonna
you're stealing it from yourself?
It's going to be rare, and I'm going to release them all. I'm like, I don't think you know how podcasts
work. It doesn't really work that way with MP3s on the internet. It's not rare. It's just
I don't know if he still does this, but we were dying. He just put some jazz on in the background.
Yeah.
Steve's like, isn't he going to pick that up? Yeah, that's the point. Background music. It's like, so there's going to be jazz music playing while we do this podcast, and he's had the one microphone in the middle of the room.
Oh, yeah. I was playing like, over that.
It's like, huh. Okay.
You're like, what are we doing here? I guess we're just hanging out.
So tell me there, Steve. You filmed a league in Chicago, right? He's like, no. Well, I saw an episode. You guys were at Soldier Field. He's like, do you understand how TV works? What do you mean? He's like, that was an exterior shot.
Some
guy went and filmed an exterior shot, but we weren't there. I thought you guys filmed it all there.
Yeah, what did you say? He's one of the dumbest humans you've ever met?
Probably. I would say he's one of the least educated human beings I've ever known.
Yeah.
I mean, he has some street smarts, but...
He does have that. Like, what do you do, man, for a living? I help people move once in a while. Like, how do you make money? Don't need it. My girlfriend pays the rent.
He got his girlfriend fired the weekend we were there.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
How did he get her fired?
Steve got him gigs on the shows, and he didn't show up for the Friday nights. We were just like, what the fuck? Oh, yeah. I was in the hot water. I got my lady fired. Oh, my God. What happened? Oh, well, wanted her paycheck early, and her work was like, yeah, we don't give paychecks early, just it comes out when it comes out. So I grabbed the phone from her, and she was talking to her boss, and I was just like, you either get her to fucking check or she quits. It's like, but it turns out that at a normal job,
it can't be like that.
Payroll is just payroll. So they fired or whatever. And
I feel bad for someone stuck with like that.
So listen, he got that she was Minnie Dean's girl.
No way.
And then Pid,
wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That's how Pid met her. Was he went to a concert with her and Minnie Dean, and then she was like, I think you're better than this guy. So she moved up from Minnie Dean to Pid.
That is a move up.
Yeah.
But what?
Yeah. Nice lady. I was, you know,
I mean, I try not to care about past and sexual past of the people I date, but like, if I found out that someone I even didn't even care about was just a random fuck.
Yeah.
You mean nothing. I will allow you to blow me if I'm doing nothing. Like, if I found out a girl like that had sex with Minnie Dean.
Yeah.
I'd probably end it.
You're like, I don't think.
Even if it was like in high school.
Yeah. You made some horrible decisions to get there.
I don't think I can do this anymore.
Yeah. Well, Pid moved across the country with her.
Wow. So how do you feel now when you're off weed? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been over a year.
How do you feel about it? Your decision and looking back and stuff?
It was good. I mean, I had a good year last year, so.
How are you doing better now? How was it a good year last year? You booked a couple commercials,
booked
right?
A couple commercials. One of them made good money.
That's cool.
So, I felt better about it. I mean, now I'm at a point where it's just like I don't want to get back into the habit of it.
Do you feel tempted sometimes?
Not so much anymore. I mean, it's like one of those rare things where it's like if I'm hanging out with a bunch of friends or something, yeah. And everyone else is, I'm like, I kind of would, but
That's how I was with cigarettes, where after a while I was off it. When I was off for like a year or something, you know. Yeah. But then I would see Freddie Soto and a couple other people like in a circle in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And they're all smoking, and it was just a social, like a social addiction where emerge, I was like, oh, yeah. I really want to do that with them. Because those first cigarettes, like, ah, these are terrible.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, was there a social urge still? I guess a little bit, you said.
Yeah, not so much. I just, I don't know, I just feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
So why go back to it?
Yeah. I really do. Like, I wake up, I feel good.
Everybody who like tells himself into not drinking, they're like, you know, I feel better smoking than drinking. And then they don't drink for a while. And they go, well, cool, I haven't drunk for a while, I can drink now. And it's like, no, man, you may listen to yourself.
Yeah.
Listen to yourself.
Yeah, I do. I feel better now, so it's probably
you don't see yourself going back to being a stoner.
No.
No.
No, that would be really tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it was hard for a while, and now I'm
what do you miss most about it?
God.
What are the things you miss anyway? Don't worry about most.
I miss feeling so relaxed. Not like I miss not having any worries,
mm-hmm.
And that was part of the problem. Was
means
I
no
needed to,
worries.
I needed to be worrying about things, and I just wasn't. So I missed that. Like I miss sometimes where I'm just stressed out, and I'm just like, man, I miss being able to smoke and then just forget everything, all my problems for a while.
Yeah, what song was that? Means no worries. It's some Bob Marley song. Every little thing gonna be all right.
I think it's called. That's what it's called.
It's gonna be all right. Birds.
Three little birds sit by my doorstep, singing sweet songs.
Memories.
A rhythm so something and true.
Something. This is my message to you. Ooh, ooh. I think of getting off it sometimes. I think I owe it to myself to do like a month at least, maybe a year of just like seeing what life is like on the other side. Because I think you forget when you're like, oh, pot smoking is better for this and this and this, but you forget also what you're missing.
Yeah.
So like these smartphones, when I got off that, it was like, they're better for this and this. But I'm like, what I'm missing is I'm not social anymore. And when I'm taking an Uber or I'm seeing someone, I'm at a restaurant, I'm on my phone. If some waitress comes up, I don't be like, oh, cool shirt. Where'd you get that? I just go, I need 2 more minutes. And I just go right back to my phone.
Yeah.
So like
restaurants are fucked, by the way. Because of smartphones.
Because of phones, yeah. It takes forever, always.
Everything is like, every experience is like an hour longer because every asshole's taking photos of their food.
They're not ready to order.
Not
they
ready
sit
to
down
order.
And look at the menu. They're still finishing off texts.
Yeah. I saw some study at some restaurant in New York did.
Saw that.
Where they looked at the security footage.
Yeah. They go, this is why our fucking service has gotten slower. It's the people.
Yeah, it's them, not us.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. We still need an etiquette over it. But the point is, I want to take a shot at it, and I'm not going to do it while I'm here in California because it's just the weed is too good. But if I go to Australia, I might do it there for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Like when I'm just don't have it, it's an easier way to do it.
Traveling is a lot better.
Why?
Since I quit, because like before it'd be like I'd go somewhere and then I'd be jonesing
immediately. Like fuck.
I got to find something while I'm here, and now it's like it's great. Whenever I travel somewhere, like I don't have any of that panic or that.
I have cool fans, so sometimes if I land somewhere, like in Winnipeg, I landed there on the day before a show, so I got there at like 5-6 p.m.
Yeah,
because I had to do radio the next day. The guy picked me up, whatever, and then he dropped me off at the hotel. It's like 7 or 8, and then a fan came and just smoked me out and gave me some pot for the next day and a half, two days until the show started, where I get more pot.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was like those fans make it way better, but like when you don't have it, it is that like fuck. Where do I get some?
Yeah.
In Montreal, the skunk guys were always cool about fucking having some waiting for me.
Right.
It's so much cooler when you have some fucking waiting for you. You're right. Travel sucks without weed.
It's tough.
Because you have the withdrawal immediately.
Yep.
You're like, I'm on a day and a half. I'm moody.
Yeah, I'd go visit my family and I'd just be like, I'd just be all moody and pissed off. And it's way better now.
I think the last time I went home to my parents, I smoked pot in the rental car on the way. Like a good 30 minutes before, you know, I aired it out.
Yeah.
But when I got to my parents, I just needed to be on weed when I was going to meet them. It was easier.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like, as soon as I got, I was like, you hungry? You want something? What do you need? What do you need? I was like, oh, give me a minute to fucking relax. I just need to see my surroundings. A little overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting doing all the different things, just stone cold sober. I'm like, oh, okay.
You realize I could totally have done this sober all this time.
Yeah, lots of things now. It's like I think I enjoy things more because I take it in to where I'm like, I the whole experience I experienced.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you know what I think is missing sometimes? And weed, people want to get as high as they can. But like when you're on alcohol, the perfect way to be an alcohol, not perfect, but like a nice way to enjoy something is to have 2 glasses of wine.
Yeah.
If you're a man. So catch a little buzz, you're feeling good.
Yeah.
But then you don't keep pounding it to where you're like going to barf.
Right.
But on weed, people keep pounding until they're going to barf. There's no barfing, but like you keep pounding. But I want just a point of like, I'm at a concert. This is nice. You know what? Let me a little buzz. Give me 2 hits off that pipe.
Right.
And then I'm feeling okay. But not like, wait, what? Yeah. Not that high.
And then the next day, you're like, I'm pretty sure I had a good time.
Yeah. You don't even remember it. You don't even have the good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It does help, but sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, like I watched the Lego movie, and I'm just like, that would have been great if I was done.
Me and Kathleen howled at parts of Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
And there's no way we could have without being on that.
Yeah, I was dumbfounded. There was 2 or 3 scenes in that movie that made me laugh. The rest
Dumb and Dumber 2?
Yeah.
The meeting Petey, right? The blind guy?
Yeah.
I told you he couldn't hear.
Yeah.
Like, boo. Yeah. Like, it's okay. It's okay, funny. Petey. He won't hurt you again. Boo. It's so shocking. He's like, I told you.
And then the rest of the movie was just like so sad. It's just like them trying to rehash old jokes.
He looked so old.
It's just like, oh.
Like you were a 20-something year old doing this funny movie. Now you're like a 40-something. You're just taking a paycheck, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wearing those clothes, you look like a clown now instead of a fucking character.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sad. Yeah. It would have been better probably under those circumstances.
They're doing Joe Dirt 2.
I heard.
But no one's really clamoring for that either way.
No. Joe Dirt 1 was pretty terrible. Yeah, so.
I'm like, why? I had a VB the other day. Why? What? Who was calling for Joe Dirt 2?
David Spade.
People are like, yeah, we'd like to see it. Guys, I think it's totally serious. We need to see Joe Dirt 2. For real? Oh, well, if you guys really want me to.
Joe Dirt 2 is out. I liked it better when it was called Joe Dirt 1.
Well, what did you learn about yourself? Anything since you've been off weed?
I guess I just learned that I can enjoy life still.
Yeah.
I can, and you know, I don't really need it like I thought I did. And there's other things in my life too. There's like, I was a lonely, depressed piece of shit before.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm fairly
you're not
happy now. You know,
you have a good wife.
I got a good wife. I love my wife.
With somebody. And like when you got married,
very happy.
Like,
yeah.
Good one.
She makes me really happy. So, you know, it's like, I just didn't, it's
pussy.
Not something I needed, I suppose, anymore.
Yeah. I think there's a time too where like, something's okay for somebody at a certain point in their life and then no longer okay.
Yeah.
Or not okay at a certain point of, and then becomes
and then
okay.
Yeah.
And you stick to these rules you make for yourself and then you realize, like, I'm not that guy who made that rule.
Yeah.
I'm no longer that guy. So you have to reevaluate every couple of years.
Yeah. And I feel like my comedy's gotten a lot better.
Really?
I'm a lot quicker. Like, just in general, like,
I saw Tell.
I think of things where I'm just like, oh, yeah. I never would have thought of that when I was.
Because your mind was betraying you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm too slow on stage.
So. That's great. And like, there's been lots of times when I've done shows since I quit. People are like, man, you're so much funnier than you used to be.
Really?
Like, some of the people I trimmed for came to a show and they'd seen me like 5 times. And they were like, yeah, I don't want this to sound like bad. Like, I didn't think you were funny before.
Yeah.
Like, you're way funnier than you used to be. Wow. And I'm like, wow, you've only known me for 4 years. So, I mean, that's like...
That's not... You didn't develop.
Yeah, it wasn't like they saw me 10 years ago. Yeah. And then now it's like, oh, you saw me 2 years ago.
Dude, I saw Tell when he was... Before he quit drinking. This was a few years ago already. But like, in the year before that, it was like... You know how you see a lot of comics and they're good and then suddenly they start coasting and they're not as good anymore?
Yeah.
Chris Rock, people like that. We're like, it's fine. But it's not like, wow... And Attell was becoming that. When he quit drinking now, it's like now he's as good as he's ever been.
Killer, yeah.
You could see it come back. You could see it like, wow, that fire. And like people were like, Attell was always drinking. It's like, yeah. And he was a 27-year-old.
Yeah.
And his body could handle that shit.
Yeah.
And then he was a 40-year-old, and it's not the same shit anymore.
It's not.
A young drunk is not like Charles Bukowski.
Right.
You know, those are different experiences.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and I actually have desires to like write jokes now too.
Really?
Whereas like it was just so easy to just smoke and then go do crowd work and not have to work. Like that's for me, like the thing with crowd work is like it's I love doing it.
Yeah.
But like it doesn't take any work.
Right.
Anything I'm going to say is based off of things that I already learned in life,
right.
Or like, you know, I mean, it's just like an experience I had a long time ago or knowledge I have from school.
You don't have to craft a joke.
Yeah.
Like, wait, this might work better with an and instead of a but.
And like now it's like I almost enjoy it, like trying to come up with something funny as opposed to just coasting through. So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
So I guess that's kind of what I learned. It's just I don't need it. And there's a lot of life to experience without it.
Do you get weird when other people smoke? Or you're like, ugh.
No. I mean, it's the same. It's the exact same people before. There's the people that I respect regardless.
Yeah.
And that if they're stoned 24 hours a day, it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
But then there's still the people that I see, I'm just like, ugh.
Right. They're dirtbags.
When I smoked a lot, I still felt that way about them. So. And now it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not associating with them as much.
It feels good when you're like I'm free of it.
Yeah. Like, I'd rather stand in the front and talk to Neil Brennan than sit
and
in the back.
And Neil's a cool guy. He's bitter in the right way.
Yeah.
He can, like, mock people. You're like, cool. Yeah. You're not fucking Hollywood. We're like, well, he's very talented. Like, shut up, faggot.
Yeah. Real cool. Lots of people.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with Brett Ernst that I never thought I would have where I'm like, oh, wow. That's kind of amusing.
He's calmed down too.
The way he hates that person is right on.
Yeah, it's fun. I love hearing somebody be bitter about something.
Yeah.
All right, well, this battery's going to die, so I'm going to lose this whole podcast. But where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Rick Ingram.
Are you on there a lot?
Yeah, I'm on there a lot more.
R-I-C-K.
I-N-G-R-A-H-A-M.
Ingram.
Yeah. And I'm on Facebook a lot too.
Okay. And you got anything happening soon?
Fuck no.
Some commercials out. That's not something.
No, I just did an Intel commercial that was internet only, so you might see Pica? It. What's that?
Was it Joe Pica?
No, I don't think so.
I wonder if he's still in the game.
Yeah, it'll be that commercial that you're trying to click off of so you can watch
it. When you watch Hulu and you're like, why is this episode of Family Guy have this commercial 6 times in it?
Yep.
I don't care the commercials. Just make different commercials.
Yep, that'll be me.
God, it's like they choose one. It's like, you guys, can you just ask people about your model? I'm saying, you can still take ads. Just split it up to where it doesn't bother people.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Ingram.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I told you we could fill an hour with no longer doing weed. It's an hour 45.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
You going to be anywhere soon? Dates?
I'm going to be in Lake Tahoe at the Improv there. April 3rd through the 6th or something like that.
Headlining?
No, I'm featuring.
Damn.
Yeah.
With who?
No idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just call me and ask me if I want
to
do it.
April 3rd through the 6th. Go to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Don't give Rick any weed or candy.
Yeah, or booze. That'd be bad.
Let's go say hi and enjoy his fun crowd work and some new bits.
Yeah.
Well, fuck yeah, man. Thank you.
Yep.
I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
It's ending like one of my sets. Just like... I think I'm done.
I be on it all day, like my nigga Big Boy said. That's the only thing that keep me level up in my crazy ass. Stone on the run. No fun if not, it's Scotty from the email red, man. I swear to keep it 100. If I have it, then I'll be dead. My soul been paid tonight. I think that I choose. Still can't forget great goose. Converse cover with mixed fruit juice. And all my niggas rolling up in the booth. Who got me on another one? Someone please roll me another one. They tell me y'all good things must sin, but those motherfuckers ain't have this brand. I can't be green, but nigga,
yeah, now I go back. And it's an outro, so people just heard that.
Yeah.
Now I do the outro.
I like the title, though.
No J, No Way?
No J, No Way.
Yeah.
I mean, Ingram's a cool dude, man. So I'm sure it was a great episode.
I think I remember being solid. We did it at Benji's place in L.A.
Oh, you mean Benji's place that was always there?
Benji was always there. What a fucking...
Did Benji stay here?
8 days. That includes 2 travel days. So really 6 days he was here.
He only spent 6 days here?
He had a place to stay in New York. And he goes, no, I moved into a 2-bedroom instead of 1-bedroom so we can be roommates instead. He had a place to stay in New York, right here in the middle of the East Village. I mean, this location is fucking great.
This is great, dude.
Nice apartment, right?
Yeah.
He got it. He goes, it was way nicer than I thought it would be. I'm like, yeah, man, it's a decent place.
I'm staying here next time you leave.
Okay. And then and he stayed here 8 days.
But the deal was that you were...
Switching apartments. And then he goes, I got a dog and I got a second bedroom. So the dog's going to be there and so will I. I'm like, what? He goes, but when I'm gone, you can just watch the dog. That was the first when he thought he was going to come for longer. I'm like, what? Watch the dog. I go on the road, man. He goes, oh, then just figure out something else to do with it. I'm like, no. What am I watching this dog for?
Wow.
Fucking Cheryl.
Next time Airbnb, right?
Next time Airbnb. Yeah.
Or we'll just switch. You can just switch with me.
Don't trust. Oh, yeah, there you go. You can switch
with me.
Yeah, you stay here for the winter.
Yeah.
For the winter?
No.
You already made the deal, man.
No. No. Erase.
Well, anyway, it's nice to get Ingram back. I honestly, when I smoke too much sometimes, I find myself less socially available. That's a thing that happens.
Less socially available. I think you are, like, I always know when you're really high. Like, I saw you the other night. You were really high. And it's like, you're not socially, I mean, we've known each other
really
a while.
Really high is different.
We've known each other for a while now. Yeah. So I do find that, like, I never have a problem having a conversation with you anymore. Yeah. Like, you and I always have a conversation. It's not a big deal. But I do see that when other people are around, you're less sociable to that.
When I'm really high. Even when I'm not really high, when I'm just, like, high.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I get quiet.
I was like that too, though, because there's
a difference. It's overwhelming.
Because there's a difference in, like, when you're high, you want mellow. Yeah. You don't want all this fucking.
Front bar, the comedy store.
Yeah, you don't want that. No.
All these open micros going, like, hey, that's all right. Can I talk to you about comedy? It's like, dude, I'm stoned with my friends.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but it's just like, come on, have some respect.
No.
I'm stuck with my friends.
I really just want to. I want some more milk chocolate covered macadamia nuts that my fan gave me when I was in Sacramento.
All right.
Which I'm getting.
I guess we'll call it. Guys, don't forget to use my Amazon link on my website at arithegreat.com where you can check all the information, all the music, extra bonus features from the episodes.
Good, buddy.
Does Ingram have a podcast now?
I don't know.
No, maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, yeah, put your shades on.
these are your cheap shades.
Oh, well, my cheap. You know why they gave them to me? I was at a comedy club, and they said that the lights might go out. We're going to have to put a spotlight right in your eyes, and that's going to be the only light we're going to have because we're having trouble with the lights. But don't worry. We got you these sunglasses, these shades, so that'll help you be able to see okay.
But you wear glasses.
Yeah, also, I'm like, guys. Yeah, I wear glasses. It's another good point. I'm like, that's not a fix for your light being fucked up.
Where was this shit club?
I don't know. They didn't go out.
And they gave you these shitty, these are terrible. These are the $1.99 glasses that you see out on the street.
Reflector glasses.
And they bought like 15 pair for every time the lights go out.
We got there's only one pair for me and the feature and the MC.
Well, see, but each of you had a pair, right?
No, one pair. We would have to pass them off to each other.
Oh, someone's going to get HPV that week.
Yeah. HPV from the ear.
Yeah. Ugh.
And what else? Oh, don't forget, check out Ingram's podcast, Embrace the Hate, on iTunes right now. That's it. Thank you all very much for tuning in.
Is there going to be another addendum?
This is the post-addendum.
This is the post-addendum?
Yeah.
We're almost fucking out of chocolate.
Embrace the hate, man. I figured it out. I got it.
We're almost out of chocolate covered macadamia nuts. So you better.
Where are my fans now?
Yeah, where is this going?
You set us up for failure. You made us addicted.
Damn you! Now I hate you. Embrace it.
All right. Well, that's the episode.
Cool.
Thanks, Tate. I mean, Court. What's your podcast?
Insensitivity Training.
Insensitivity Training with him and Joe Barnick. Ladies and gentlemen, for episode 214 of Rick Ingram, I'm Ari Shaffir. Oh, the reason that all the music in this week's episode, it is all songs about weed from guys who no longer smoke weed. Kid Cudi, Paul McCartney, Wiz.
You don't think Paul McCartney still smokes weed?
He's quit it in 2011. I did some research, bro.
I don't know.
It's That's why he blames the loss of the leg of his wife. She lost her leg because of weed.
What?
Now, keep in mind the last part I'm making up, but the part about him quitting weed is a real thing. Yeah, all right.
The last part I'm making. Bye. The most important part.
Going back to Woodstock for a while, though I long to hear that lonesome hippie smile. I'm a million miles away from that helicopter day. Oh, I don't believe I'll be going.